progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carr. Chance of Obama greeted the candidate in Columbia, South Carolina, as Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Edwards all went to the State House for a Martin Luther King Day rally.
And we have a deficit when it takes a breach of our levees to reveal the breach in our compassion, when it takes a terrible storm to reveal the hungry that God calls on us to feed the sick.
When the dreams of Selma and Montgomery are clouded by the nightmare of Katrina, we need to stand up, speak out, act, and vote.
It is time for us to say enough is enough. We're better than this. The United States of America is better than this. And for us to stand up, speak out, rise up.
The Democratic primary in South Carolina is on Saturday, and they have a debate tonight. Republicans have their eyes on Florida, very important primary set for a week from tomorrow.
I'm pretty positive that I'm the only Republican running for president that in his reelection bid for governor got 48% of the African-American vote. In fact, I would put that number up with anybody in the Republican Party running for office in any state in the country.
It's Mike Huckabee, CBS's Nancy Cordes.
More than any other state that has held a caucus or primary so far, Florida matches up very closely with the national picture when it comes to issues that people care about. So how well the candidates do here could be a reflection of how well they could play on the national stage.
Wall Street was down last week. Foreign markets opened this week in a near free fall, losing 5 to 7% of value in European and Asian markets today. CBS's Richard Roth says all eyes are focused on the U.S.
The word you kept hearing over and over today was fear. There's fear about the ongoing problems in the banking industry, in the credit markets, in housing. And there's fear that a recession is now looming.
Stocks analyst Michael Farr says tomorrow may be a pretty wild ride.
The U.S. consumer represents 20-21% of global GDP. If we slow down because our housing prices are dropping and we don't feel good, the rest of the world slows down, and stock prices as a barometer are going to go lower.
From 2 to 3.5 feet of snow, Ontario Lake Effect has fallen on Fulton, New York. It's a mess. Martin Luther King Jr. Day had people meeting and celebrating and thinking all over this country.
He did all that hard work just to get people to love each other.
Everybody needs to be treated equal. Everybody deserves the same as everyone else.
Without him, we wouldn't have the freedom that we have now.
This is CBS News.
Let your message get lost in the crowd. Office Depot takes care of that with the power of color to make sure your work stands out. Now, only at Office Depot, Xerox certified print specialists will bring the proven power of color to your message in presentations, brochures, business cards, banners, flyers, and more. Hurry into Office Depot today and get your business notice. Office Depot, taking care of business by bringing you the power of color to your message.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Tires.
Sir, I think I speak for the four of us when I say that we do not support your current errand.
Well, we're going to the tire store. You guys are tires.
Head to the dealership.
Well, at the tire store, you can see your buddies.
We don't associate with off-brands. Your dealer has name brands. Michelin, Continental, Goodyear.
Enough.
I don't think they carry that one.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
An Iraq war vet facing charges in Georgia has gone missing, and his family thinks he's wandering the countryside lost.
For 2 months, Cheryl Fittrell's been combing a highway in Cobb County, Georgia.
Looking for my son, calling for him day and night, trying to find him because I'm desperate.
Police say 33-year-old Gary Cronister's on the run from charges he molested a child. His mother says her troubled son is innocent and too disoriented to call home. She says his already fragile mental health worsened after non-combat duty in Iraq and Afghanistan. She's trying to find him so he can get the help she says he desperately needs. Vicki Barker, CBS News.
In Ellsworth, Maine, when Michael David won a lottery ticket worth $1,000, police took it away from him. They said he bought the ticket with ill-gotten gains as a drug peddler, bought it during a break in the sales action at a hotel, and went back to it. If a judge agrees, the lottery winnings will go to the town of Ellsworth. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Buying a used car can be filled with pitfalls, but there's one sure way to avoid stumbling. Buy a Honda-certified used car. Only well-maintained late-model Hondas are eligible. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, and then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Plus, now you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda models. Feeling a little more sure-footed, aren't we? Honda-certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Mom?
There's a good reason more people prefer the ease and convenience of Listerine Whitening Quick Dissolving Strips over the leading competitive strip.
Mom, you've been in there a long time.
You don't have to live in the bathroom.
I did great in grammar school.
Listerine Whitening Strips dissolve. No mess, nothing to remove.
Got my license. I shave.
Listerine Whitening Strips mean noticeably whiter teeth or your money back. So come on out.
Come downstairs and meet my wife.
Another easy way to a noticeably whiter smile is Listerine Whitening Pre-Brush Rinse.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Thanks for joining us today. It's a soggy day in San Francisco, and it is the national holiday for Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. Thanks for listening. This is Stevie Wonder's tune for Dr. King. On today's program, coming up in a moment, you'll meet Stephen Thomas. He's running for the Assembly here in California, and he has a measure to ban privatized voting in California. That's something I support. We'll talk about it. Could not have a David Wood. Also this hour, Luke Ryland, journalist from Australia, returns to our program to tell us about the story that you cannot find in the American media. But Rupert Murdoch's Times of London has run two powerful reports over the last couple of weeks based on the comments and information of Sybil Edmonds. Now, Sybil's been on our program many times. She got fired from the FBI, where she worked as a translator. And in her job as a translator, she came across information that you will find astounding. Did, in fact, a major top-level State Department official tip off the Turkish and Pakistani governments that the cover firm that Valerie Plame worked for was a CIA front? Well, it's a powerful question. We don't know all the answers, but we're going to explore that. And some of the other charges that Sybil Edmonds has managed to get published in the foreign press. But nary a word has been published on these shores or broadcast on television. And we will expose it for your consideration a little bit later this hour. Also on today's program, Dr. David Kearns returns. We're going to talk about health care reform, about San Francisco's effort to ensure every resident. It does include a mandate, and that is bothering some people. We'll talk about the California program that will be on the fall ballot if the state Senate approves it, and also the prospects for federal health care reform and the positions of the various presidential candidates. Ari Melber from The Nation will be with us a little bit later on today to detail some of the events over the weekend in the Nevada caucuses. Did, in fact, the Clinton campaign operate a vote suppression effort? Well, we're going to find out about that. And lots of topics to talk about in the free speech zone, too. And your calls and comments are welcome. That's in our third and final hour. You can call before then, too, if you have a comment. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. And you can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. Sitting across from me in our secret studio today is Stephen Thomas. He is a candidate, a Democrat running for the state assembly here in California from the East Bay area. And that's San Ramon?
It's Walnut Creek down to Pleasanton, then out through Livermore, underneath Tracy, underneath Stockton. It underlies the congressional district that Jerry McNerney run, which is a race I ran in 2 years ago.
That's right.
And helped Jerry win by making him work on his public speaking. He got way better after I got into the race.
So who's Stephen Thomas? Tell us about Steve.
Stephen Thomas is, I'm an electrician. I'm a working guy. So I'm a union member. I understand what we're all going through as we try to make our ends meet. In the middle of a 30-year career being an electrician, I had a 10-year career in the stock market where I literally worked myself up from being a cold caller to writing institutional research and going on to do day trading. So I know a whole lot about how the economy works from the inside that unless you've worked in the stock market, you don't know. The real thing is I care about fairness for all. That's kind of been the key thing with me my entire life from the time I've been a little kid. And as an electrician, as a troubleshooter, what motivated me to run for office is I fix things for a living. And I know that if you don't correctly identify a problem, you can't fix it so it stays fixed. And it became clear to me that I can see lots of solutions to our problems that aren't getting talked about in the political process. And these are fairly nuts and bolts things that just you have to say, here's the problem, here's what we got to do to fix it, let's agree, let's work together. And it's not happening. And that was my motivation for running for office.
We need a couple of sparkies, don't you think?
Absolutely.
In electoral politics?
We need to rewire the House of Representatives and the State House and make it all work correctly.
Yeah, that's a great metaphor. Now, one of the things that has intrigued me that you've sent me information about and that I invited you over to talk about today is the idea of banning privatized elections. And Brad Friedman is on our program every week. You got to meet him in Sacramento last week at the screening of Uncounted. And the problems continue. We are not seeing them recede in any way. There are serious questions about New Hampshire. There are questions about Michigan, although it doesn't seem anybody is really too interested in delving into them and trying to figure them all out. But at bottom, we have a serious lack of confidence in the way our elections are conducted and in the way that votes are counted. And as long as that is the case, our elections will not have credibility, and those of us who come out on the short end will always suspect that some kind of gaming, manipulation, or outright fraud took place. And as long as we contract with Diebold and ES&S and Sequoia and a handful of other companies that, you know, claim that their source code is proprietary, then we will never, as citizens, have the confidence that these elections are secure and that they're being conducted fairly and honestly.
I agree with you completely, which is why I wrote this resolution. And my plan when I wrote it, and this is really very simple, that no control of the vote shall be privatized or any part that has to do with control of it, because the heart of our democracy relies on the integrity of the vote. You and I are about the same age. We grew up at a time when pretty much you filled out a paper ballot and you sent it off, and there's plenty of ways to cheat, even with paper ballots. But, you know, if you find box tops floating in the bay, you know you got a problem. Houston, we got a problem. With these electronic machines where it's proprietary and they can just say, well, it's all a secret, it's like, I'm sorry, I've read way too much about the CIA and how secrets work to accept a corporation saying, this is our secret, trust us, we'll count the votes, we'll tell you who wins. The vote is, it's the heart and soul of our democracy.
Well, and I do believe that it is one of the functions that should be conducted by the government. We should not be outsourcing it or privatizing it. And you and I were talking before the show about Naomi Klein's book, which is called Shock Doctrine, all about the way the Bush administration has privatized. And, of course, Dick Cheney was doing it at the Pentagon when he was there 15 years ago. And so we really have outsourced so many critical and key functions of government. And we saw the bottom with Katrina. That was very vivid and you know, right in front of our faces. But we're unable to see any kind of shenanigans or murky behavior that takes place in our electoral process, because there are two walls. One is the corporate wall, and then you have the bureaucratic wall.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm with you, bearing in mind that government really is us. It is we the people. It's you and me working as a community to defend and protect and uphold the things that we consider our commons, which are, you know, and this goes back to British common law. It's clean air, clean water, you know, the right to fish, the right to eat, you know, out of what at the time was the empire.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's long gone, but we still have our Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, and it's life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And one of the few things I'm sorry about that the Founding Fathers didn't do was make the Declaration of Independence and what it meant have the force of law in the Constitution that the Constitution has. Because that whole life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that's key to how we stay alive as human beings. And it's about we the people, not we the corporations. It's about life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness for all of us, not about the right to make unlimited profits no matter what the social costs, no matter what the pollution. You know, it's cheaper for us to pollute and make you pay for it than anything else. So,
mm-hmm. Steve Thomas is with us. He's a Democrat running for the Assembly in District 15 here in California. He has sponsored a resolution, and you're initially submitting this to the Democratic State Committee, is that right?
Yes, I'm trying to get this through the Democratic State Party process, but I wrote this so that it could cross party lines, and I really want it to go national.
Mm-hmm.
This is so simple. This is the bedrock of the foundation that we're going to have for voter protection. It's going to need to result in effective legislation, which is one of the reasons I'm running for office. But this is the foundation. And whether you're Republican, a Green, peace and freedom Republican, it doesn't matter. If you care about the integrity of the vote, it can't be privatized. It has to be under the control of we the people.
It's brief, and it's straight to the point. Two whereases. Whereas the integrity of the vote is essential for the continuance of democracy, whereas the vote is the cornerstone of the control that we the people have over our government and is an essential part of our commons, be it resolved that no part of the control of our voting process or systems be privatized to any corporation or other private entity, and that all essential systems stay wholly within the control and oversight of the citizens of the state. Any purchase from vendors of equipment and/or open source software shall be allowed only if such technology is transparent and subject to control and oversight by the state, and shall have no proprietary or trade secret technology. Be it further resolved that a durable paper ballot constituting a legal document shall be created by each voter, counted as cast, and be securely maintained for recounting or audit for at least 2 years if requested by any candidate or political party or until any dispute is legitimately settled. Now, that's very straightforward, very concise, and where do I sign, Steve? I support it 100%.
Take it to a Democratic club that you belong in and tell them to vote on it and send it towards whatever their central committee is. Take it to whatever party central committee you're with, no matter what party you're with. Get them to vote on it and send it up through the state party structure as a resolution to say, this is the kind of legislation we want on this issue, and let's take it national. Because
we're going to take a break. Then we'll take a national. We'll take your phone calls, too. That's a lot of taking. 888-5 Peter B. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with Steve Thomas about this idea of banning privatized voting starting in California. 888-573-8372. Give us a call here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village.
Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmel Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmel Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
This is an important message from Brian McGough, Iraq War veteran and Purple Heart recipient.
More and more troops and veterans of Iraq believe George Bush's military policy has been a disaster. I am one of them. Rush Limbaugh called vets like me phony soldiers for telling the truth about Iraq.
The Rush Limbaugh Show, September 26th.
Welcome to the EIB Network. Hello.
Hi, Rush. Thanks for taking my call. They never talk to real soldiers. They like to pull these soldiers to come up out of the blue and spout the media.
The phony soldiers.
Rush,
the shrapnel I took to my head was real. My traumatic brain injury was real. My belief that we are on the wrong course in Iraq is real. And so you have the guts to call me a phony soldier to my face. Stop telling lies about my service.
Tell Rush Limbaugh to stop insulting America's troops and veterans. Call 800-282-2882. Paid for by Vote Vets Action Fund.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with Stephen Thomas. He is a Democratic candidate for the California State Assembly, and he's authored a ban on privatized voting, starting with California, but this is a virus that could spread. And Scott called from Arcata, couldn't stay on the line, Steve. He said, are you the only one behind this, and what plans do you have to introduce it to other states?
I am doing everything I can to get people to send it to other states, and this requires people knowing people in other states. I don't know a lot of people in the parties in other states, but I'm not the only one behind it. I've had a number of clubs and central committees sign up already, and the whole idea is this needs to get spread. Read this, take it to your club, take it to your central committee. I don't care what party you're in. If you're Green, Republican, if you care about this country, if you're a real patriot and you love America and you understand how important the vote is, not having it be privatized is essential.
And can we find this at electstevethomas.com?
It will be up there shortly. I've got a volunteer web guy running, and it's not there yet. But
okay.
I will make sure it's up there soon. And if it's something that Peter B. would like to put on his website, perhaps that's a possibility.
Okay.
I'll probably link to it because
that's fine.
Honestly, it's beyond us to try to put everything up on our website.
That's
it just
fine.
Gets
I
out
understand.
Of control. Dave in Eureka is an election protection zealot. Welcome to our program today, Dave.
Hey, Peter. Steve Thomas, I so much appreciate what you're trying to do. I have been fighting this battle for the longest time. I think that the evidence that we've been subjected to election fraud over several years now is overwhelmingly evident, probably not the least of which is the caliber of the folks we've got living in our White House right now.
You mean the world-class thieves?
The election thieves?
Yeah. They stole the elections. They stole our democracy. They stole our free press. They stole everything they can. It's just criminals, and they're in there because they rig elections.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Long-term plan. I so much appreciate what you're doing, sir.
Well, if you can take this to your local club or your local central committee, that would be great.
I will be more than happy to do that, and I'm in several different groups here, Coalition for Peace, the Unitarians, the Vets for Peace, and everything.
Yeah. Well, and if Dave Berman is listening, I want Dave to know about this, and I'll put you two together. Dave is an advocate there in Humboldt County, and he, on his own, created a spreadsheet to estimate the costs of hand-counting paper ballots to try to impress his own local registrar, Carolyn Cernich, that they can, in Humboldt, make that move away from the machines and back to paper ballots. So it's a hotbed of activism there in Humboldt County, that's for sure. Let's go to Ben in Salinas. Ben, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show with candidate Steve Thomas.
Yes, I'm a little frustrated, Peter. You know my attitude. We literally voted for Deborah Bowen to go up there to fight this monster. And why is it when these human beings get to Sacramento, they get invisible, and but their checks are steady rolling in? What's Deborah Bowen's trip? Why are we even having this discussion?
I think Deborah Bowen has actually decertified a lot of the machines, and she is struggling with the whole network of the local voting officials on the county level where they actually need to make elections happen. Deborah Bowen is absolutely on our side.
Okay.
She has made statements in public speeches that are very congruent with this resolution where it shouldn't be privatized.
Well, down here in Monterey County, we got these people that are saying, okay, now the grand jury suggests that we have electronic voting. As long as it's proprietary, you're getting the corporate idea as to how to interpret your vote, and we're going to be stuck with a moron like Giuliani or Jeb Bush. I ain't going for it.
Well, I don't blame you, but Deborah Bowen is absolutely on the right side of this issue.
Okay, well, thank you for enlightening me, sir.
You bet, Ben. Thanks for the call. And I'm sorry you're impatient, but I'm glad you're impatient because while I don't think it should be focused explicitly on Deborah Bowen, we need to be impatient with this problem and keep the pressure on until it is all fixed. And once again, we have Rush Holt, Democrat from New Jersey, circulating a bill that at best is half a loaf. And we've got to find the courage to ban these machines altogether. And, hey, the governor of Florida, Jeb Bush's successor, a Republican named Charlie Crist, he banned electronic voting machines in Florida, scene of the crime in 2000. And if he can do it, well, we can too. Steve, just about 30 seconds remaining. What would you like to add about this proposal?
Well, clearly we need to have control of our own elections. And I've had people ask about this proposal. What is Deborah Bowen's position on it? And she's ducking and covering from everything she's doing with electronic voting machines. I don't think she can afford to specifically say something about this, but I think it's probably something she would be in favor of. But you know what? She's not going to be the Secretary of State forever.
Mm-hmm.
This is about us. This has to be we the people saying this is the kind of thing we want as legislation to control our elections, no matter who the Secretary of State is.
That's Steve Thomas. Visit his website, electstevethomas.com. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments, providing unique perspective to investors for over 50 years. Franklin Templeton Investments, gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood.
I have a dream.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is the only person in American history in whose honor there's a national holiday, and he deserves that. We used to honor George Washington's birthday, but that became President's Day. I hope we don't at some point do the same to Dr. King and make this Civil Rights Leaders Day or something of the sort. Because that day, in August of 1963, at the memorial to another great American, Abraham Lincoln, it was clear that his memory, too, and his immortal dream would be enshrined forever. More after this.
Taking care of
Don't let your message get lost in the crowd. Office Depot takes care of that with the power of color to make sure your work stands out. Now, only at Office Depot, Xerox certified print specialists will bring the proven power of color to your message in presentations, brochures, business cards, banners, flyers, and more. Hurry into Office Depot today and get your business notice. Office Depot, taking care of business by bringing you the power of color to your message.
Are aches and pains still keeping you up? Here's a nice surprise. Advil PM gives you a better night's sleep than Tylenol PM because you'll spend less time lying awake with annoying aches and pains and more time asleep. Get the multi-pain relieving power of Advil plus a non-habit-forming sleep aid to gently ease you into a full night's sleep. So switch from Tylenol PM to Advil PM. Less time lying awake, more time asleep. Use only as directed. Brands or trademarks of their respective owners.
Martin Luther King Jr. had a premonition. For 40 years ago, almost, on the eve of his assassination in Memphis, he spoke of it.
I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Imagine. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American-made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia is the place for me. Coffee and tea and the honey and me at Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest espresso, coffee, fresh local baked goods, and internet access. Come try our new Zawadi African Chai. And remember, Coffeetopia, we're here to help.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour. And what you're about to hear has not yet appeared in American media, print or broadcast. You can read about it on the internets, but no major American news outlet has chosen to tell you a big story that was first printed in London and has dominated the news over the last few weeks around the world. It has to do with the information that Sibel Edmonds has. And if you're a regular listener to this program, you are familiar with Sibel, a Turkish-American who was hired at the FBI as a translator shortly after 9/11. And some months later, she left the agency after raising serious issues about information that she translated that suggested that crimes had been committed, and also about the manner in which the translations department was being operated. Just one quickie, on a routine basis, she would translate a file and at the end of the day submit it to her supervisor, who would then erase it and tell her to go back and do it again. And the reason was, he said, well, we're trying to build up a backlog so that when we go to Congress next time, we can ask them for a bigger budget, which, in fact, they did. And it's important to note that the charges Sybil Edmonds has made, many of which have not been made public here in the United States, have been corroborated by the Inspector General of the Justice Department, Glenn Fine. With that, we turn to Luke Ryland, who is a journalist based in Australia, and he returns to our program today. Luke, great to talk with you.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, it's my pleasure, and thank you for the work that you've done in trying to bring more attention to the plight of Sybil Edmonds and the case that we're about to discuss. First of all, you know very well that Sybil Edmonds has been very actively trying to get American media to publish her story. And in November, via our friend Brad Friedman at BradBlog, she issued an invitation to the commercial media in this country to give her an opportunity to tell her story. And if they would do that, she was willing to risk whatever sanctions the government might impose on her under the so-called state secrets privilege, which they have imposed a gag on her since Ashcroft was attorney general, and this dates back as far as 2002-2003. And to date, no American media have accepted that invitation. Is that right, Luke?
That's right. There's been nothing, in the print or the broadcast media. Sybil's offer is sort of now 4 months old, I think, and she hasn't heard anything from any of the major U.S. networks. Of course, her phone's been ringing off the hook from mainstream outlets all across the world, but nothing in the U.S.
And the Times of London, and this makes many Americans scratch their heads because it is owned by Rupert Murdoch, the same guy who just bought the Wall Street Journal, and the guy who makes many Americans cringe when you think about, a truly free press in this country. But the Times of London has twice in the last 3 weeks published major Sunday articles about the allegations and reports based on Sybil Edmonds' knowledge.
That's right, and that first article 3 weeks ago now was a devastating piece where they outlined some of the details, the facts around Sybil's case, where a senior administration official by the name of Mark Grossman, who was formerly the number three guy at the State Department, and prior to that he was ambassador to Turkey, he was enabling a criminal network, primarily a Turkish and Israeli network, to infiltrate all the different U.S. agencies, including the nuclear agencies. He was providing security clearances and visas and whatnot for this criminal net, for people in the criminal network to place their moles inside Los Alamos and other nuclear labs, so that those people could get in there, get the secrets that they want, and then feed that back out to the network, which was then sold. You know, those nuclear secrets were then sold to Pakistan, Turkey, Israel, Saudi Arabia, and who knows who else, the highest bidder, in fact.
Well, and Luke, many of our listeners are familiar with Abdul Qadir Khan, AQ Khan, who is described as the father of Pakistan's nuclear bomb, and he was at the center of a proliferation network which enriched him personally and also created alliances with the nation of Pakistan that they have used to their advantage. And so when we start to see the outlines of Sybil's knowledge surface here, and we see an allegation here that the number three guy at the State Department under Colin Powell was involved in trying to protect, to keep the lid on, to keep the cover on what appears to be an international conspiracy that included American officials who presumably were supplying information to Pakistan, which was then proliferated through the Khan network and some of the recipients we know to be Libya, Iran, South Korea. There may have been others. And so this then creates a circle that directly implicates American officials, and it's mind-boggling, isn't it?
Well, you're right. And Mark Grossman and the others weren't just covering up this criminality, this network. They were actively enabling it as well. Mm-hmm. That's important.
And do we know if any money changed hands? Is there a suggestion that American officials received compensation for the secrets that they delivered?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. In the Times article, there are a number of different examples that they give. Presumably, Sabell heard these on the wiretaps. Somebody would just make a phone call, say, from the Turkish embassy and say, okay, we'll give you $15,000, go down to the American-Turkish council and go and pick it up. We'll meet you there in half an hour. So that's been documented a number of occasions that's happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are many dots here that I'm unable to connect. So, Luke Ryland, I pose these things as questions intentionally, because I'm not in possession of the facts, and I am certainly deferential to Sibel Edmonds. I believe Sibel. I'll just put it out there in a declarative statement. Still, much of this remains to be further proven, but the sketch that we've seen so far is really shocking in many respects. Now, let me turn to one other aspect of this, and I want to try to describe it clearly for our listeners, who do know Brad Friedman from Brad Blog, who is on our program every Friday. And Brad and I both know Sibel Edmonds, and we have been in touch with her at different times over the last few years. And as a result of some of his communication, Brad has come into possession of an anonymous letter that was sent sometime, it appears, toward the end of 2007. And it refers directly to an FBI case number, and not that this means a lot to people, but just for the in the interest of detail, I'll give you the case number, 203A-WF-210023. Now, according to sources, that file was the FBI's case number for the investigation into the issues that we're discussing, which implicates American officials in the transfer of nuclear knowledge and technology to other nations, in particular Pakistan and Turkey. And this file, according to the FBI, in response to a recent Freedom of Information Act request, does not exist. But Sibel Edmonds, while she cannot give a lot of details because of the so-called state secret gag order that is imposed on her, she told Brad Friedman that the claim by the FBI that this file doesn't exist is an outright lie. She says, I can confirm outright that the FBI lied in their denial of the existence of the file. 100%, it was an outright lie. And she is saying that when she left the agency, the FBI, in the spring of 2002, that there was such a file. And so if the FBI now claims in response to this FOIA request that it doesn't exist, then perhaps it was destroyed, not unlike the CIA's torture videotapes.
That's most of the story, Peter. But since this Brad and Liberty Coalition received that anonymous letter, there have been some journalists working on the case, and there have been some other anonymous FBI officials who have come forward and given the journalists at the Times a document which proves that that case file exists. It's an official FBI document that refers exactly to that case file number. So, you know, this is not Sibel's allegations anymore. This is, you know, fact.
And the London Times has reported that in the edition of Sunday, January 20th of 2008. And they again cite the exact case file that I named, 203AWF210023. And the Times report reads, last week the FBI responded to a FOIA request saying that it does not exist, but the Times has obtained a document signed by an FBI official showing the existence of the file. So that,
right.
That
so
is
now
a...
we have proof that case exists, and we have proof that either the FBI is lying, or alternatively, that they have since destroyed that evidence. Now, if they're lying, that they're not allowed to lie in an official document, so they're either lying and they've broken that rule for, you know, to cover up the US involvement, the involvement of US officials, or they've destroyed the entire case file. Now, that case file includes all the audio, thousands of hours of audio and documents and a whole bunch of things from for a counterintelligence operation against Turkey and the Turkish embassy, the Turkish Turkish consulate, involving high-level U.S. officials that went on for at least 6 years.
So then 6 years takes us back roughly to 1996.
1996 is when it started, the case that Sobel worked on.
Mm-hmm.
And it, so, and it existed at least until 2002 when she left. Now, importantly, in July of 2002, Sobel had a couple of unclassified sessions with the Senate Judiciary Committee, chaired at the time by Charles Grassley and Patrick Leahy.
Mm-hmm.
When they heard Sobel's claims, they invited a number of FBI and Pentagon officials who came in and confirmed her claims. Now, Leahy and Grassley were so horrified, and they realized the enormity, the magnitude of the things that Sobel had stumbled across, which have been confirmed by the FBI and the Pentagon, that they then wrote a letter to John Ashcroft, who was then Attorney General, saying, please do not destroy any evidence. So, you know, that's how serious they took it. They actually wrote to the Attorney General, you know, warning him not to obstruct justice. So for whatever reason, they assumed that there was a good chance that that might have happened.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Luke Ryland, Australian journalist, about the case of Sobel Edmonds and about the astounding reports that have been published in London. But, Katrina, my producer, just found the first U.S. publication of anything referencing this, and it's in Editor and Publisher, which is a trade publication that covers the media. And their headline reads, London Times story says U.S. complicit in nuclear proliferation. Ellsberg charges media cover-up here. That is the first. And Katrina is telling me to give you credit, Luke, because you tipped her off to it over the phone. But that is the first we've seen, except for websites and mostly progressive news sites, of this very important story. Luke, we need to take a break as we return. I want to talk a little bit more about Mark Grossman and also the way that he outed or exposed the front company that Valerie Plame Wilson was working for. We'll talk about that next. If you have a question or comment, you can call in right now toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
I have always said that I will listen to the requests of our commanders on the ground.
Mr. President, you did not listen. You continue to pursue a failed strategy that is breaking our great Army and Marine Corps. I left the Army in protest in order to speak out. Mr. President, you have placed our nation in peril. Our only hope is that Congress will act now to protect our fighting men and women.
Well, actually, it's just
the
Monday.
Story is true. Dragnet. Dragnet.
Yes, the story is true. Sybil Edmonds is a great American hero. She wants to tell the truth. She wants to tell everything she knows that she learned while she was translating different secure and sometimes top secret documents or intercepts at the Federal Bureau of Investigation. But she can't. And the two committees that could call her to testify, the House and Senate Judiciary Committees, respectively chaired by Waxman and Leahy, have not called her to testify. And Henry Waxman apparently made some commitment directly to Sybil Edmonds that he would do so in the first year or two of Democratic rule. And while Waxman did a great job on steroids and baseball last week, I'd like to see him take on a much more important issue like this. As we told you before, and Luke Ryland, the Australian journalist, is with us, the Times of London has published two very important stories regarding the information that Sybil Edmonds has and would like to share with the American people and the Congress. And, Luke, one of the most explosive charges relates to Mark Grossman, formerly number three at the State Department. And one of the allegations is that he went to the Turkish embassy in Washington and tipped off somebody, I don't know exactly who, that Brewster Jennings, which was the front company where Valerie Plame Wilson allegedly worked, that was her CIA cover, Mark Grossman allegedly revealed to a source there that it was a CIA front. Now, this suggests that the whole Bush administration attack on nonproliferation, the outing of Valerie, and the still unknown roles of Joe Wilson, gosh, what a mess we have on our hands. And if Mark Grossman, with the kind of security clearances you would expect of a top State Department official, was spilling that kind of information, we can only guess the dimensions of the plot, the conspiracy, or whatever you want to call this operation might be. Luke, go ahead.
Was there a question there? Sorry.
Well,
yeah, we can only guess. But as you say, he outed Brewster Jennings. That was, remember, the summer of 2001. So this is 2 years before Valerie Plame's identity was officially exposed.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, immediately after Mark Grossman shared this news with his criminal friends, remember, Brewster Jennings and Valerie Plame are tracking weapons of nuclear proliferation, including Turkey's involvement there. So apparently, as soon as Mark Grossman blew that cover, Brewster Jennings was shut down.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just a couple of the... I want to be really clear that this is not directly related. I can't link this. But in Valerie Plame Wilson's book, Fair Game, there is an afterword written by Laura Rosen which says the things that the agency wouldn't let Valerie say. And in it, she reports that Joe Wilson met Valerie Plame at a function at the Turkish embassy of the American Turkish Council. Now, I don't know what that means, but it certainly raises some flags and questions. And when you link it together with Grossman's disclosure to his, as you put it, his criminal confederates, and the breezy way that the White House was willing to expose Valerie Plame Wilson, it just suggests that we have an administration here that, you know, used nuclear nonproliferation simply as a series of excuses, most notably to invade Iraq.
That's true. And importantly, Mark Grossman also features very highly in the outing of Valerie Plame. He was the number three under Powell and Armitage. Now, one particular day, both of his superiors were out of the country, so Grossman was acting Secretary of State, and he ordered up the memo which subsequently outed, which named Valerie Plame. So he's a very direct link there, too.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Now, I don't have any proof at the moment that he did that specifically for that reason, but it's certainly curious, let me put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Now, Luke, we got about 3 minutes remaining. Why don't you take a minute here to tell us what I haven't asked you about that you think is important in the new details that have emerged in these two key stories in the Times of London?
Those two stories are important. The first one outlined another scenario where people at the Pentagon, people like Richard Perle and Douglas Fyfe, maintained a list of people within the departments that had access to specific pieces of top-secret information. And on that list, they also had the particular specific vulnerabilities for each of those people, whether that be sexual or financial.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when their friends in the criminal network called up and said, oh, we need a particular piece of information X, Perle and Fyfe would look at their list, find out who had access to that information, tell the criminal network what their particular vulnerabilities were, again, financial or sexual, and then the Turks or the Israelis would then approach the people with the access and blackmail them. Perhaps they would lure them into a relationship with another man or cheat on their wife or whatever it might be,
mm-hmm.
and then hook them into the network that way. So they had a network of moles right across every agency in the United States.
Very, very interesting.
So Bell put out a list of 18 photographs on her website a couple of weeks ago, which didn't have any names or any descriptions, but there are 18 photos there of people who we can only presume are the guilty people in her case. Richard Perle, Douglas Fyfe, Eric Edelman, Grossman, Scowcroft, Larry Franklin appears strongly in that first Times article, and there are six current and former congressmen as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see how extensive the network and the blackmail is.
Yeah. Well, Luke, thank you for updating us today, and I want to direct people to bradblog.com for some excellent coverage of these two stories in the Times of London. And it is just a major indictment of the American media, print and broadcast. And Brad has such an indictment from Daniel Ellsberg about their failure to bring us even a whiff of these important stories. And if you want to see the photographs that Luke just referred to, Sabell's website is justacitizen.com. That's J-U-S-T, justacitizen.com. Luke
and
Ryland.
I've got the names of all those people on my website, letsabelledmondsspeak.blogspot.com.
Well, we can put those two together then. Thank you very much, Luke. That'll make it easier and a little less guesswork.
Certainly.
Luke, we'll talk again. Thanks again for your stalwart support of Sabell Edmonds.
Thanks, Peter.
My pleasure. There will be more to come on this story. Stay tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll bring it to you first, if possible. Talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good, just like an organic tomato or strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. there's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A global market sell-off.
The word you kept hearing over and over today was fear.
Honoring a civil rights pioneer.
We keep Dr. Martin Luther King's name going. It doesn't let the youth forget about what he's done for us.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Brace yourself when the stock market opens tomorrow. Futures trading today suggests a major drop after losses in markets around the world. From London, CBS News correspondent Richard Roth has the rundown.
The market index in Paris was down almost 7%. In Frankfurt, it was down more than 7%. Here in Britain, it was down 5.5%. In money terms, the decline here represents a loss of more than $150 billion wiped off the value of stocks. That's the biggest one-day decline here since 9/11.
The sell-off was prompted by fear that the United States is sliding into recession.
It may be a global economy, but it's still a fact that if the American part of it turns down, if American consumers stop spending, others are going to suffer. And market analysts here were saying that investors were simply doing what they do when they're frightened, they sell.
Initially, at least, Eugene Peroni of Advisors Asset Management expects Wall Street to follow suit.
All things status quo, yes, I think that this is going to send some reverberations through the U.S. markets. Just how well the market closes tomorrow, if it does rebound at all, I think will be quite telling.
Now this.
Welcome to Chapman's Cheeses.
Yes. What do you recommend today?
Well, there's a special on forgotten expenses and disorganized sales figures. But I highly recommend the lingering invoicing. Very well aged.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily deal with routine chores, like tracking sales, organizing expenses, and creating invoices, so you can get back to what you do best.
This is a cheese shop, isn't it?
Yeah.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Are you still running on last year's technology? Then hurry into Office Depot for great deals on the latest tech products. Office Depot has a wide assortment of printers, and this week get a $75 mail-in savings on HP printers $199.99 or more. And to bring your camera into the digital age, save 15% instantly on Canon and Sony cameras $199.99 or more. Office Depot, taking care of business and all your technology needs. Excludes discontinued bundles and clearance items. Offers expire January 26th.
It's a day to reflect on the legacy of Martin Luther King.
He did all that hard work just to get people to love each other.
Everybody needs to be treated equal. Everybody deserves the same as everyone else.
Without him, we wouldn't have the freedom that we have now.
Those are school kids in San Antonio. President Bush visited the King Memorial Library in downtown Washington.
Martin Luther King is a towering figure in the history of our country. And it is fitting that we honor his service and his courage and his vision.
King and Opportunity for All were themes of the day for the Democratic presidential hopefuls campaigning in South Carolina.
We will finish the work that Dr. King began.
I didn't come from a lot of money. I didn't come from power or privilege. I was raised by a single mother.
It is time for us to speak with one voice for universal health care for every man, woman, and child in the United States of America.
Republican Mike Huckabee joined former President Bill Clinton in a pew at the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta. Other Republicans focused on the upcoming Florida primary. Mitt Romney had a noisy rally in the domed lobby of the CNL Tower in Orlando.
There's something about this dome, I can tell.
Rudy Giuliani is counting heavily on Florida.
I'm the Republican who can bring about tax reductions, because I actually brought it about in the past in a Democratic city where it was really hard to do it.
John McCain responded today to actor Chuck Norris, the Huckabee supporter, who suggested that at the age of 71, McCain is too old to be president.
I'm afraid that I may have to send my 95-year-old mother over and wash Chuck's mouth out with soap.
There's speculation that after his poor showing in South Carolina, Fred Thompson is ready to drop out, but at the moment, Thompson is said to be preoccupied with his ailing mother and hasn't made any decision. It's bone-chilling, teeth-chattering cold across much of the northern tier, from Butte, Montana, where it was 38 below this morning, to Van Buren, Maine, 34 below. And adding insult to injury, the Syracuse, New York area is digging out from 3 feet of lake-effect snow.
We get it every year, and I hate it.
Fulton, New York, with 37 inches of snow, declared a state of emergency. There were some accidents on the roads, but no fatalities. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Don't let your message get lost in the crowd. Office Depot takes care of that with the power of color to make sure your work stands out. Now, only at Office Depot, Xerox certified print specialists will bring the proven power of color to your message in presentations, brochures, business cards, banners, flyers, and more. Hurry in to Office Depot today and get your business notice. Office Depot, taking care of business by bringing you the power of color to your message.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your tires.
Sir, I think I speak for the four of us when I say that we do not support your current errand.
Well, we're going to the tire store. You guys are tires.
Head to the dealership.
Well, at the tire store, you can see your buddies.
We don't associate with off-brands. Your dealer has name brands. Michelin, Continental, Goodyear.
Enough.
I don't think they carry that one.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Six minutes after the hour. Thanks for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show. Kids are out of school, the banks are closed, the post office has a day off. And it's all in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And in his honor, we're working today and talking with you about important issues, including issues that Dr. King cared quite a bit about. Our next guest provided me with a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. "Of all the forms of inequality, injustice in health care is the most shocking and inhumane." Dr. David Kearns, welcome back to the PBC show today.
Hi, Peter. It's great to be here.
Well, it's nice to see you, and thanks for the work you do and your advocacy for health care and improving it in this country. You're an adjunct clinical professor of pediatrics at Stanford University School of Medicine. You used to be the chief medical officer at Santa Clara Valley Medical Center, one of the largest public health facilities in California. And you've written a book called Standard of Care, an ethical drama about health care in America. And I just want to have a kind of wide-ranging conversation with you this hour about the efforts to ensure more Americans, or ultimately every American, and to try to rein in the escalating costs in our healthcare system, because after all, if we provide universal coverage, but many people can't afford even the health insurance, then we may not have fully solved the problem. Let me turn first of all to the efforts in San Francisco. Because San Francisco announced last year a fairly ambitious plan to provide insurance for every resident in the city. And there are two things that I'd like you to comment on. One is the broader question of do mandates work? And if you have to coerce people into the pool to buy health care insurance, will that actually work on a practical basis? And then the second question relates to a court challenge that was filed against the San Francisco plan and is currently on stay at, the Ninth Circuit Court, the Federal Court of Appeals. And that has to do with whether employers can be ordered to pay for coverage for their employees. So let's take the first question first, David. The mandates. We've heard in the presidential campaign Barack Obama pushing back against the Edwards and Clinton's health plan, saying that they include mandates and that those are impractical, unmanageable. What's your view?
Well, there certainly is a lot of energy around the issue of of personal or individual mandates. The reason that people would go to that in the first place is that having everybody in is what makes insurance pools work.
Right.
The argument that you have to have mandates goes like this. If people can choose in or out, the healthy people will choose to take a risk and not get health insurance, and the high-risk or sick people will get health insurance, and the program will collapse because, you know, premiums won't be collected from the healthy people, and all you'll have is a concentration of sick people that cost whatever program you're talking about a fortune. This is the reason, for example, that premiums for group insurance from an employer, for example, are lower than premiums for individuals because the insurance company gets the whole pool.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's behind people wanting to have mandates, that is to get a 100% so-called risk pool,
right,
so that the program works financially.
Spread the risk, spread the cost.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And make it work. If you have all the healthy people choosing not to sign up, it doesn't work as a mm-hmm. financial model.
Right. All those premiums that I've been paying for years and I've never really had a major claim, that helps provide the revenue stream for sick people.
Right. The idea is that the well people pay for the sick people and that the well people eventually become sick. And that then the other well people who are younger and healthier than them will pay for them, and that's how you perpetuate the system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a way to deal, I think, with the individual mandates is to have the cost of the premium, or the cost of the, in the case of San Francisco, they call it a membership fee because it's not actually insurance per se. Mm-hmm. And I can come back and talk about that a little bit. In that sense, it's quite clever. But you can have a sliding scale and link, you know, the size of the membership fee to the person's income or the family income.
Right.
And you can also have subsidies, and you can have you can work that out to make it less expensive. But it really is problematic to have people outside, completely outside the pool. Now, Obama's argument that he makes is that if you make it affordable enough, you will not have to mandate it. Mm-hmm. That if you make it affordable enough, people will join. I think, realistically, he's also concerned that an individual mandate for national health insurance will be a legislative poison pill. It'll be the thing that people will grab onto as an excuse to vote against it, even though they're really voting against it because of who's lobbying them.
Right. And let's pause for a minute here, David Kearns, because the mandates we're talking about are not that you'll be arrested if you don't have health insurance. It's not that they're going to cut your little pinky finger off because you don't have health insurance. It's probably going to be in the form of a tax credit that you don't get to collect if you don't have health insurance. Am I correct?
Well, it depends. I don't think the San Francisco program is built around tax credits. The San Francisco program is built around membership fees, and I've got a little help here on a piece of paper. These are quarterly fees, which may range from as low as $60 a quarter, which is awfully low.
Oh, yeah, compared to $400 a month, which is what a
right.
single person pays for health care.
Right, and the high end is $675 a quarter. And that's for people who are 500% of poverty, which is the cap for the program.
Mm-hmm.
So it is pretty inexpensive. They also have some copays, which are $10 to $20 for a clinic visit or $200 to $350 for a hospital inpatient stay, mm-hmm. and those vary by a sliding scale based on income. So,
and then how does San Francisco mandate the coverage? What's the penalty if I don't comply?
The penalty is you don't get the care. You're not in.
Okay.
It's a membership fee.
Mm-hmm.
It's a membership fee.
And if I show up at the emergency room, will they turn me away?
No, they can't. No, they can't turn you away from the emergency room. But I think they're trying to make this so inexpensive that it really will be an incentive for people to join.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, realistically, they don't get to universality. But they could get, you know, they could get close. I think in San Francisco, they're going for about 85,000 people. And Gavin Newsom is saying that he thinks they're going to have 40,000 people as members by the end of 2008. Right now, about 8,000 people are enrolled.
Mm-hmm.
The thing to me that's the most interesting about what's going on in San Francisco is the path which this program took in its development. San Francisco, for years, wanted to do this, and they couldn't put together a financial model that worked because of the cost of insurance. And finally somebody said, well, let's not have insurance. We own a hospital. We own health centers. We own clinics. We have physicians. We have nurses who we pay, you know, whom we pay. Why don't we just provide the care?
Wow. That's remarkable. And, you mean cut out the insurance companies?
That's exactly right. And that's what's so interesting about the San Francisco model is they figured it out, that healthcare is less expensive if you don't have an intermediary as a broker. So that's why I said the San Francisco program is not actually an insurance program. It's because there's no insurance company,
mm-hmm.
And there's no fiscal intermediary. You pay a membership fee, you get a card, you go and you get care.
So it's a universal healthcare program.
It's universal. Well, it's universal if everybody signed up and paid the membership fee.
Potentially universal.
It is potentially universal. Now, it has some real shortcomings.
Mm-hmm.
For example, it's not portable. You can't, if you're not in San Francisco and you can't go to one of these settings, the program doesn't cover you. So if you're down in, in San Jose, and you go to a doctor because you need to go to a doctor, that will have nothing to do with the mm-hmm. San Francisco program that for which you have a membership. You're also limited to going to the facilities that are owned by the city and county of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a finite program, but it very much emphasizes prevention and preventive care. And it's actually fairly comprehensive. There's mental health coverage, there's substance abuse services, prescription drugs, dental exams, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of service in it.
Mm-hmm. And so on balance, do you think it's a model for expansion of healthcare delivery?
I don't think so, because it is based on a government-owned delivery system.
Mm-hmm.
And America doesn't have a government-owned delivery system other than the VA and military hospitals and some city and county mm-hmm. facilities. So it doesn't make sense as a national solution. But it's an interesting eye-opener in terms of financial feasibility when you take away the middleman.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a break, and then I want to come back and talk about the outlines of California's plan to expand services, and I'll reload that question about mandates, and maybe it'll fly this time. 888-5-PETER-B, if you have a question or a comment about health care, striving for universal coverage either through insurance or using the San Francisco model that Dr. David Kearns just described for us. He's here this entire hour, so get a free consult. Give us a call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. Lines are open for you, 888-573-8372. We'll continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2008 Honda Civic, a four-door compact. My demo has a 2-liter four-cylinder engine and a 6-speed manual transmission, delivering great acceleration and performance along with pretty good gas mileage. The power-assisted steering is tight, not as much work as the old Hondas. The Civic holds the road well. It's easy to park. Inside, it's roomy for its size, has all the accessories you want, moonroof, nav system, satellite radio, and a pretty good stereo with a plug for your iPod. The trunk is bigger than you'd expect, and with fold-down rear seats, you can carry some stuff. If I thought there's a major flaw in the Civic, I would have told you right here. By the numbers, the 2008 Honda Civic gets 21 mpg in the city, 29 on the highway, and sells in California for about $24,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
And a little traffic in the Monterey, Salinas, and Carmel area. Not a lot of activity, but we do have some advisories to issue regarding the weather. We're going to let you know in the Santa Cruz Mountains we have a severe weather warning. It's hailing on Highway 17, creating very slippery conditions for motorists. So, again, drive with caution. So, again, Santa Cruz Mountains, a severe weather warning. It's hailing on 17, creating those slippery conditions for motorists. Now, besides that, we don't have a lot going on. We're going to mention San Jose. Same deal there. We have a severe weather warning there in the South Bay Hills. Skyline and Highway 9 are open. State Route 130 is closed on Mount Hamilton due to snow. So you kind of get a sense for what's going on. H&R Block has more than 110,000 tax professionals and over 12,000 offices. Put any one of them to work. Call 1-800-H&R-BLOCK or visit YouGotPeople.com today. That's traffic on KRXA.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour. One of my favorite tunes from the 80s. Found it in the closeout bin at Rasputin's the other day. Made me really happy. It's called True Faith by New Order. But that's all we have time for right now, because David Kearns is here. Dr. David Kearns, his latest book is called Standard of Care. And for our listeners in San Francisco on Green 960, David Kearns has a book signing in the marina at Books, Inc. on Tuesday evening. That's January 22nd at 7:30 p.m. And he'll be talking about the U.S. healthcare crisis and reading and signing copies of Standard of Care. Again, that's at Books, Inc. in the marina. And that's Tuesday evening, January 22nd. I hope you'll turn out. And if you do, tell him you heard about it on the PBC show, and it'll make his day. So, David, let's come back to the San Francisco health care plan that we were talking about a moment ago. Because the one thing before the break that we didn't touch on was this last-minute lawsuit that the Restaurant Owners Association filed, trying to argue that it's against the law to impose controls on employers and dictate what terms and how much they would pay for these kind of benefit programs that include health care coverage for their employees. And in a kind of remarkable move, the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, I think I have this right,
rejected that argument, put that case on hold, and allowed the enrollment for the San Francisco program to go forward. But this could come up again with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Fabian Nunez's plan to expand health care coverage for Californians, because theirs includes an employer mandate. Is that the right term?
That is the right term.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an employer mandate for a program like the San Francisco program is absolutely necessary. You couldn't possibly do the program without it. Just imagine if you had a city or county sponsored universal health program that anybody could inexpensively enroll in. Well, the employers would just stop giving the benefit. So this particular necessary arrangement is called play or pay. It doesn't require the employer to provide insurance, but if the employer doesn't provide insurance, then the employer has to pay. And in the there's a schedule of payment based on the hourly wage and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some irony here, because it was the Golden Gate Restaurant Association that brought the lawsuit, and these, I guess, about 800 restaurant owners are members of this. And of course, Gavin Newsom was a restaurateur in mm-hmm. San Francisco, so that's the irony there. It's now leaning toward, I think, the court pushing back on the Restaurant Association. The case is still alive. The suit mm-hmm. will be heard. But while they're waiting to hear it, there is no injunction against going ahead with the program. There had briefly been an injunction, as you know, because a single judge ruled in favor of the Restaurant Association, and 2 weeks later, this three-judge panel that you mentioned turned mm-hmm. around and reversed it. But it's absolutely essential, at least as framed for the state program, for the program that Schwarzenegger and Nunez are putting together or trying to,
mm-hmm.
The employer mandate is critical for that. Because if you're not going to go all the way and have single payer, then the thing that you cobble together has to really involve the current payers, who are the employers. And if a court were to find that illegal,
mm-hmm.
not only, and if it were upheld, you know, up the chain of appeals, not only would it take out the California program as it's currently envisioned, but it would make the Massachusetts program illegal as well.
Yeah.
So, while I don't think it's likely, if it were to happen, it would certainly have far-reaching effects.
And David Kearns, the idealist in me, says, well, why do we have to cobble this together? Why do we have to dance around these entrenched interests, particularly the insurance companies and also the HMOs? And why can't we go directly to single payer, the kind of plan articulated by Dennis Kucinich, a non-for-profit system that doesn't include the insurance companies? Now, I know they'll scream, and I do understand the power that they have. After all, they derailed the Clinton plan in 93 and 94. At the same time, it seems like cobbling this stuff together is so difficult and so delicate that it may not be the solution long-term either.
Yeah, I agree with you. A person who really writes very well about this, Tim Noah in Slate, writes great stuff about mm-hmm. healthcare, and what he's saying is he thinks that some of the best features of these programs, for example, the programs in California, Massachusetts, and in fact the programs that people like Clinton and Obama and Edwards are putting together, he says one of the best things about them is that when they fail, the country will be forced to finally get to single payer. Because they are such Rube Goldberg
yeah.
contraptions.
Right.
You're right. It is everybody running around trying to spare the insurance company. And yes, the insurance company has more money than whatever god you worship.
Dr. David Kearns with us. If you'd like to talk with us, lines are open for the rest of the hour. We're talking about health care and covering all Americans. 888-5-PETER-B. 1-888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Stimulate me. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Everybody agrees the government needs to start sending out checks to stimulate the economy. But who should get the checks?
This growth package must be built on broad-based tax relief.
The president says taxpayers should get the checks in the form of a tax rebate, but the Democrats worry that might mean too much for rich people and not enough for their constituents.
Economists agree that middle and working-class people are most likely to spend that money in a way that will effectively stimulate the economy and create jobs.
It's like, we know we need the steroids, but where to inject them? Well, we're trying to create jobs, right? What is a job? A job is where you get money in exchange for working, right? So if you just hand out checks, that's like a dividend for not working. Sends the wrong message. Which is why the president wants those checks to be in the form of a tax rebate, because then it's just giving you back your own money. Except, because the U.S. Treasury runs a deficit, your actual money is long gone. So that the rebate will have to be borrowed from somewhere, very likely from China, making this, in fact, a rebate on every Chinese thing you ever bought. But if that's the case, then why not stimulate the economy by just making Chinese stuff even cheaper? Except Chinese stuff is already so cheap that it's the reason many Americans don't have jobs, which is what we're trying to prevent. Which brings us to my idea. If you want to stimulate the economy by giving money to people who will spend it right away, just set up a barrel of cash outside the payday loan place.
So, hon, how do you want your hair done?
Oh, I just want to try something really different.
Okay, well, if we trim your disorganized finances, layer your expenses, and give your late invoicing some body, you'll look just like a movie star.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily handle routine chores, like organizing finances and tracking expenses, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a stylist, aren't you?
Award-winning.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help you get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis, addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in expert guests and we'll do it with humor. The Sheila Show, Saturday, 3 to 5, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
And he pays way too much for health insurance and gets really lousy care. And he's not alone. We continue our conversation about health insurance, health care, and the promises of universal coverage. Dr. David Kearns is with us, adjunct clinical professor of pediatrics at Stanford University School of Medicine. Used to be the chief medical officer at Valley, that's Santa Clara Valley Medical Center. And that's an operation that could be a model for the rest of the country. David Kearns, during the break, you were telling me that in Santa Clara County, almost half of the county employees
are covered by a plan that is not insurance. It's somewhat similar to the San Francisco program, where essentially the county provides the health care for its employees instead of providing health care insurance.
Well, it's insurance, but it's provided internally from the county's own HMO.
Mm-hmm.
The county many years ago decided, because of all the capacity it had to provide health care, that it could in fact offer employees of the county a health benefit, on at least the choice of that health benefit, compared to the more traditional choices like Kaiser and other insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, they formed an organization called Valley Health Plan. And then it turned out it's tremendously popular with county employees, and people who aren't county employees are also buying it.
Oh, really?
From the county.
Uh-huh.
And it's been a big, big success. I'm biased. I've been working in that health system for almost a quarter of a century in Santa Clara County, but the leadership down there has been very, very innovative.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the first county in America to have universal coverage for children.
Yeah, yeah. So now let's talk about the state of California and Governor Schwarzenegger. He's a man that I am somewhat critical of, but I have to say I admire that coming back from his electoral drubbing in the fall of 2005, he's reinvented himself as much more of a populist and a middle-of-the-roader. He went for an increase in California's minimum wage as a way to try to mollify the nurses who he offended in his ballot campaigns of 2005. And then he actually is attempting to deliver on a promise to drastically expand coverage in California with an ultimate goal of universal coverage. And from what I've been able to discern from the news accounts, David, he's put a package together that has buy-in from the Assembly, Speaker Nunez, but they're running into problems with Don Parada, who is the president pro tem of the state Senate. And the Senate has not yet signed off on this, and ultimately, if it does, it will go on the ballot next November, this November of 2008. And if voters approve it, it would start to go into effect in the years following. What is your sense of what the stumbling blocks are to put a package together and actually get this on the ballot?
For one thing that makes it difficult, it is that it is huge. This is a gigantic undertaking, which absolutely dwarfs what they did in Massachusetts. We've got almost 7 million Californians who are uninsured or underinsured, and 5 million that are considered to be permanently uninsured. So this is just an enormous program. But there is a lot of public sentiment in favor of change. A field poll was done. Almost 70% of Californians are quite dissatisfied with the healthcare system. And so the program, by necessity, is enormous and enormously expensive. And the legislative and initiative process is going to be very, very difficult. Yes, it's passed the Assembly, and Nunez is the Speaker of the Assembly, and he's sort of co-sponsoring this with the governor. Not just Don Parada, the president pro tem, but the chair of the Senate Health Committee is Sheila Kuehl. And Sheila Kuehl, of course, is the author of SB 840, which is the universal single-payer bill that twice passed both chambers of the California legislature, but was vetoed by the governor.
Well, as SB 2, it was actually enacted and then repealed by Schwarzenegger, isn't that right? SB 2 was the Burton bill as Burton was leaving office. You're not sure?
I'm not certain about that.
I'm not 100% sure either. There's no wager on the table. So.
Okay. Well, Sheila Kuehl is probably the smartest person in the legislature about health care and a true champion of universal single payer. So she begins with the assumption that this is certainly not the best way for the state to go. It is not the way that the citizens of California want to go. And so she's going to be one tough cookie in terms of the hearing. So it's not at all clear whether it's going to get through the Senate. Now, it only needs a simple majority, because they removed the money part of it, the tax part of it, and put that into the initiative should the program legislation pass. Because if they had put the money into the legislation, it would have required two-thirds, and they would have never passed, because these are straight party votes on this. The Republicans are not buying any of it. So I don't know. I think it's going to have a tough time in the Senate, and then I don't think it's a given that the citizens of California are going to vote for it. It's going to be a $9 billion, at least as they're currently talking about. It's going to be a $9 billion initiative, and it's going to combine employer taxes, a big bump in tobacco tax, and then a tax on the hospitals, which is at least going to be partly paid back by some increased sharing of costs from the federal government. So there's huge amounts of money in play, and I just don't have a guess about how this is going to come out. It's very, very cumbersome.
Now, one thing that doesn't quite make sense to me, and I'm not letting the caregivers off the hook here, but if our goal is to reduce the cost of health care and make it more widely accessible, you know, as well as the insurance as universal as possible, why would we tax the delivery system? Why would we tax hospitals?
It's in a way, it's a trick. It's to some extent, it's a trick, okay? And we will really be in the weeds if I try to explain this, and I might not even succeed to do it accurately. But the money, Medicaid dollars, come to states to go to hospitals for payment in formulas, okay, that are linked to the costs that the hospitals encumber. So that if the hospitals pay a fee into the program as part of this program, it will actually increase the amount of money that will come from Washington, and a significant amount of money will go back to the hospitals. Okay? So it probably won't be a wash, but it won't, on the bottom line, cost them that much, to the point where the hospitals are actually supporting this.
Okay. Well, if they're supporting it, then, you know, I'll give them the benefit of that doubt. It's a little counterintuitive. Yeah. And as, you know, don't go into the weeds, but I do get the general picture that by paying this tax, the hospitals then help California qualify for additional federal funding, which you think will give them a net gain.
No, it'll give them less loss.
Less loss, okay.
Not a net gain, but less loss. It won't be as high impact on them. Now, in Schwarzenegger's original conception, he also wanted to charge a tax to physicians.
I remember that, yeah.
And that really went nowhere.
We're talking with Dr. David Kearns here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about the issues related to expanding health care coverage and the goal of universal health care coverage in this country. If you have a question or comment, you can call us now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It is disappointing, and I don't blame the governor for this, that this current cycle of attempting to pass this ambitious program is going to be hamstrung by the current fiscal problems the state is having. And depending on what it takes the legislature to work our way through the budget this year, I believe that they're not going to have the luxury of avoiding a tax increase, then I think it will be difficult for the governor to go to the voters in November and say, in addition to the tax increases that we just had to impose on you, here are a few more, but you're going to get universal health care out of it.
Well, it's sort of crazy making, because on the one hand you have the governor with this very, very, very ambitious program to do universal health care, and he just released the impacts on the health care budget of the budget problem, which is a $14 billion budget problem. And my understanding is they're talking about cutting the Medi-Cal budget by over $1 billion, affecting 1 in 6 Californians. They're going to reduce reimbursements of Medi-Cal to both physicians and hospitals, and they're going to cut money for HIV/AIDS drug assistance and counseling. So on the one hand, the governor is doing this very, very ambitious, progressive, aggressive healthcare expansion program. And on the other hand, he's cutting parts of the state healthcare budgets dramatically to deal with the budget deficit problem. It's crazy.
It will make the healthcare situation that much worse, and the cost of fixing it that much greater.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Yeah. Well, as you take a look at this picture, what do you think Governor Schwarzenegger is going to try to do to package this in a way that voters will see it as attractively as possible? I think that's a challenge for him.
I think it's going to be very difficult. But the program is not projected to accomplish full universal coverage, but as designed to increase coverage for 3.5 million Californians. That's a real big positive thing. That's a lot of health care.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, I guess will that balance out all the financial concerns? I don't think that there's necessarily a whole lot in it that's gonna hold down cost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is not a ideal program. Sheila Kuehl, the person who's going to be running these hearings, has actually published a very substantial and long list of what she thinks is wrong with the program. And again, some of that would take us into the weeds, but it is not by any means an ideal program. It has many shortcomings.
Listener called in who couldn't stay on the line, Steve in Salinas, wanted to know why not Medicare for all? And this is the essential element of the Kucinich proposal, which is to expand the not-for-profit health care system in this country and essentially squeeze out the insurance companies and squeeze out the for-profit health care delivery operators. Can we get from here to there, David Kearns?
Well, we can certainly get there if we can get there politically. Steve has got it right. By far, the most efficient healthcare delivery mechanism in America is Medicare. The overhead of Medicare is 2 to 3 cents on the dollar. The overhead of for-profit insurance intermediaries is 25 to 30 cents on the dollar, which goes for marketing administration profit. And that alone is costing us a national fortune. So there's no question that having single payer is by far the most efficient, the least expensive way to provide health care. And, in response to the claim that that's socialized medicine, which is the usual, battle cry, it isn't remotely socialized medicine. It's socialized financing of private medicine. It's tax dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But we're taxed in all sorts of different ways, because if the employers have to pay for premiums and people have to pay for premiums and copays and on, those are taxes, that's money. So it's by far unquestionably the most efficient way to do it. The problem is the political problem of getting there.
We're going to take a break and return with Dr. David Kearns. Lines are open if you have a question or comment about expanding health care coverage in this country. 888-5-PETER-B. It's toll-free, 888-573-8372. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com.
Traffic on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and hopefully your holiday is a nice one. We're going to mention that there's not a lot of activity on roadways, but we do want to mention the fact that we do for the Santa Cruz Mountains, we have what we call a severe weather warning, and it's hailing on Highway 17. What does that mean for you motorists? Well, it's creating very slippery conditions for motorists, and again, drive with caution. So if you're traveling on Highway 17, it is hailing, and slippery conditions reported drive with extra caution at Los Gatos. Southbound 17 between Lark Avenue and the Summit, we have very slow traffic being reported there. Southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel looking very good at this point. Cold or no cold, the day must go on. So for the help you need to power through your day, get the non-drowsy multi-symptom relief of Vicks DayQuil. Use as directed. That's traffic on KRXA.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, brought to you in part by the Organic Wine Company. You love organic fruits and vegetables. Why not wash it down with organic wine? Visit the website at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. Or call Veronique right now, toll free at 888-ECO-WINE. ECOWINE. Talking about the challenge to expand health care in this country, David Kearns is with us, adjunct clinical professor of pediatrics at Stanford University School of Medicine. And he put some of his thoughts about the health care system in a novel called Standard of Care. And he is appearing Tuesday evening in San Francisco's Marina District at Books Incorporated, Books Inc., 7:30 p.m. He'll be talking about the health care crisis and also reading and signing from Standard of Care. And you can visit his website at davidkearns.com, K-E-R-N-S, davidkearns.com. And Dr. Kearns, how do you size up the presidential candidates? And we'll just talk about the Democrats, because the Republicans, in my view, don't have a lot to add here that's very meaningful. But do you see a substantial difference between Edwards, Clinton, and Obama?
Not really. There are some fine differences, and as we mentioned earlier, the difference that has been talked about more than anything is that Obama, unlike Clinton and Edwards, has said that he doesn't want to have an individual mandate, he doesn't think it'll work. He thinks it might be a poison pill legislatively. And the way to get individuals to sign up for health insurance is to make it affordable. Mm-hmm. And that's the largest difference. But they're all basically recommending an employer pay-or-play program with emphasis on prevention. The main issue is that they all have the private insurers right in the middle of it.
Edwards is most aggressive about saying that he'll take them on. Obama says they'll be allowed to come to the table, but they can't own the table. And Hillary, I haven't heard an explicit comment like that.
Yeah, well, I don't know exactly what Edwards means that he'll take them on.
Mm-hmm.
If they're the fiscal intermediary, then you're going to add hundreds of billions of dollars of cost. In fact, we do, because they are the fiscal intermediary. And you add hundreds of billions of dollars of cost to your health, to your national health care bill. So are there ways to take them on? Sure, you can try to limit their overhead. So, for example, in the California legislation, Schwarzenegger says they've got to deliver 85 cents on the dollar as true as real medical care. But then the fine print says that administrative costs can be included in medical care. Okay. So, you know, really taking them on might be being, you know, more rigorous about that. But it's still going to come down to, you know, the lobbying power of the insurance companies and what will the legislature actually be able to do. If you keep this current system, which certainly Edwards, Obama, and Clinton all are keeping the current system, we're not going to, I don't believe, make any kind of major dent in affordability. The cost is just enormous because of the way we do it.
Let's talk to Pat in Eureka. Thanks for calling, Pat. You're on with Peter B. and Dr. David Kearns.
Yeah, hi. How you doing this evening?
Good.
The reason I was calling, I work for a big corporation, and I just don't understand why they're not on board with having something like this, you know. And I'll say socialized medicine. Or something that just where everybody's entitled to it. I mean, so many other things they have socialized. The risk, you know, look what the bailouts now that are going on with the companies on the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they want that socialized risk. Why don't they have this part socialized?
All right. David?
Well, I think this is a very, very smart comment. You know, the question is it really in the interest of employers, and large employers, small employers, to have the system that we currently have? The employers are getting killed by the cost of health care. We know, for example, if you look at the auto industry, General Motors spends, you know, the first $1,500 they receive on every car for health insurance premiums. They're competing with Toyota. Toyota has to spend $200 on every car for health insurance premiums. Mm-hmm. In a global marketplace particularly, business can't compete. And I actually think that Pat, you know, taps into what might be the ultimate answer, and that is when American business is hurting badly enough from the current system, they may very well outgun the insurance companies politically.
Very good. Thank you, Pat. Appreciate the comment. Susan in Soquel, you're next for David Kearns here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yes. Hi, Peter and David. This is what I want to ask about. I tell everybody what you said, that Medicare is a much more efficient, has a more efficient delivery system, blah, 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 costs less. But then when I talk to my doctors here, because I'm going on Medicare now, it's my first month, and when I talk to my doctors here, my chiropractor won't even touch it. I've been told that the doctors, I was also told this by the high cap person I spoke to, that the doctors here are paid less in this county, they're reimbursed less. So very few people are, few practitioners are on board with Medicare here. So how does that work?
Well, I'm a little bit surprised that they're actually refusing.
Yeah, they're refusing.
Yeah, because it is true that the reimbursements for Medicare to the providers need to be higher than they are.
Yeah.
But Medicare, you know, the senior population is so large,
mm-hmm,
that it's actually quite difficult, certainly impossible, for any hospital to stay in business if they don't provide services to Medicare patients. Now, it may be that you have individual providers who don't have many seniors in their practice, and they can have a perfectly flourishing practice.
Well, what I was told,
you know,
by the
without
MyCap person was, if I have a doctor who takes it now, I better stick with that doctor because there are very, very few. Mine happens to do that, but I was looking at the private part, the PPO thing or whatever it is,
mm-hmm,
and I she said I'm much better off just sticking with the doctor I have and not touching anything.
All right, Susan, I'm out of time right now, but later this week we're going to be live Thursday and Friday from the Families USA Healthcare Conference in Washington, and we'll take up some of these issues at that time. Dr. David Kearns, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you, Peter.
Great to see you.
And coming up next, the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good, just like an organic tomato or strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that, you know, you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The stock slide continues. It's Tuesday morning in Japan, and the Nikkei average, which fell nearly 4% in Monday trading, is down another 4%. And there's been a 3% drop in the South Korean market, making it even more likely that stocks will be sharply lower when Wall Street reopens after a three-day weekend. CBS News correspondent Richard Roth reports today sell-off in Europe was prompted by problems in the United States.
The bad news bear market reflects banking and credit problems, along with a fear President Bush's plan to stimulate America's economy is too little too late. It may also amount to a forecast.
We could be looking at not only significant economic slowdown, but there's that dreaded word recession in investors' minds as well, and I think that's what's spooking them.
In other words, foreign investors aren't wondering so much if a recession's looming. They're worrying now how deep and how long it may be. Richard Roth, CBS News, London. The bad news bear market reflects...
High School Gospel Choir in West Hartford, Connecticut, at a ceremony honoring the late civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. The King holiday found many of the Democratic presidential hopefuls in South Carolina sounding themes of racial progress and unity.
True unity cannot be purchased on the cheap. It starts with changing attitudes by broadening our hearts and broadening our minds.
That's Barack Obama. The state's Democratic primary is coming up on Saturday, but while Hillary Clinton campaigned there today, CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod reports she's just about written it off.
One advisor told me today that they would count anything less than a double-digit loss as a good week for them. They expect to be trounced in South Carolina, quite frankly. In fact, her travel schedule is going to take her away from South Carolina for the next couple of days. She's going to head out west and try to work some of those western states, New Mexico, Arizona, California, that'll be up on February 5th.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. The top four Republican candidates are all in the Sunshine State.
I need your help. I need you to go out and vote five or six times each.
Mitt Romney probably wishes they could. The latest Quinnipiac University poll shows him tied with Mike Huckabee for third among Republican voters, Rudy Giuliani second behind John McCain. But it's a tight race. Just 3 points separate them. It's a statistical dead heat. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
And what about Fred Thompson? CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes reports his campaign might just be about over.
There is a lot of speculation tonight that Fred Thompson may be about to drop out. He failed to surge in South Carolina, has not released any plans to campaign here in Florida.
Some staffers are likely to take jobs with other campaigns. One source says Thompson's elderly mother is hospitalized and he hasn't made any decisions. This is CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your oil change sticker.
I've been in the sun too long. I think I'm peeling.
No kidding. How come?
Hello? Maybe you're overdue for an oil change at the dealer.
Oh, right. How about that?
Well, you know what? I should have written out the date or mileage to remind you. Oh, wait. I did.
All right. Time to go to the dealer.
Good idea. And don't worry about me. I'll be fine on your windshield for the next 5,000 miles.
See? Everybody wins.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in. Keep going.
So, hon, how do you want your hair done?
Oh, I just want to try something really different.
Okay, well, if we trim your disorganized finances, layer your expenses, and give your late invoicing some body, you'll look just like a movie star.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily handle routine chores, like organizing finances and tracking expenses, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a stylist, aren't you?
Award-winning.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
Yahoo, according to the New York Times, plans to lay off hundreds of employees as it narrows its focus and tries to increase profitability.
Yahoo has grown in several directions at once. Everything from social networking to photo sharing to a wide variety of editorial functions. And I think this is a company that needs to figure out what it can do right and what it can do profitably and get rid of what isn't working.
CBS News technology consultant Larry Maggott. As an Internet search engine, Yahoo has been eclipsed by Google since 2006. Its stock has lost more than half its value. Those seasonal banners we hang outside our homes, they originated in Richmond, Virginia with Mildred Callahan Jones. When her son was born in 1975, she hung a big hand-stitched flag outside her house announcing, "It's a boy." The flags caught on. Jones turned her hobby into a national business whose customers included President Reagan. Jones has died in Richmond. She was 64. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Welcome to Chapman's Cheeses.
Yes. What do you recommend today?
Well, there's a special on forgotten expenses and disorganized sales figures. But I highly recommend the lingering invoicing. Very well aged.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily deal with routine chores, like tracking sales, organizing expenses, and creating invoices, so you can get back to what you do best.
This is a cheese shop, isn't it?
Yeah.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Are you still running on last year's technology? Then hurry into Office Depot for great deals on the latest tech products. Office Depot has a wide assortment of printers, and this week get a $75 mail-in savings on HP printers $199.99 or more. And to bring your camera into the digital age, save 15% instantly on Canon and Sony cameras $199.99 or more. Office Depot, taking care of business and all your technology needs. Excludes discontinued bundles and clearance items. Offers expire January 26th.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening. We're heading into the free speech zone. We take your calls on any subject, with any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Just pick up that fancy phone. iPhone calls are accepted here. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And there's a lot to talk about a little bit later this hour. I want to bring up the stories of two judges, one in Texas. And where's this other guy? West Virginia, corruption in the courts. It's just disgusting. And also, I want to talk with you about the plans to promote General Petraeus right out of his job running the war, the occupation in Iraq. And there are other things we can talk about, too. But I want to first bring on Ari Melber from The Nation. He has been sending me some of his dispatches that you can find at thenation.com. And I'm particularly interested in Saturday's Nevada caucuses and the way it all worked out, because what I wrote on my little cheat sheet here is Obama gets more delegates, loses Nevada. Ari, how does the math work here? Because the delegate count is really what matters. But as I understand it, Hillary Clinton won more counties in the caucuses in Nevada, and that allows her to claim victory. Is that right?
That's right, Peter. And, you know, it's charitable to call it math. Because, unfortunately, some of these early caucuses that are still influential don't operate on any traditional math. They have some very arcane rules and weighting in terms of how they value different parts of the state. But basically, because Obama did stronger in some rural areas that are weighted differently and that had an odd number of delegates, he actually edged her out in getting an additional national convention delegate, Walt, she had what looked like about a 5-point lead in the popular vote.
And I don't want to be like the corporate media. I want to mention John Edwards here instead of as an afterthought. He really got thumped in Nevada.
Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned it, because I wrote on The Nation that, unfortunately, a lot of the cable television news and the general media also misreported not only initially the delegate count, which was confusing and showed that they weren't, despite spending a lot of time on this, they weren't following very closely how it works in this important state. But number two, they were treating John Edwards' numbers as lower than they actually were, because like Iowa, another caucus state that has, you know, basically a threshold and it operates in terms of counting local delegates, not individual votes, it's not one person, one vote. So what that means, basically, is that John Edwards had probably a higher level of support in Nevada, but in many precincts he might not have had enough voters to be viable. Those people then went to Barack and Hillary, raising their numbers and depressing his. So that matters, as you say, for the delegate count, because he doesn't get those delegates.
Mm-hmm.
But it does not mean that he had as low a support as it looked like in the final tally.
Well, and I really felt that his message would connect, because Nevada was the first state to be hit by the mortgage meltdown. The air went out of their real estate market fully a year and a half ago. It is the eighth state on the ugly list of those without health insurance coverage. And it's, generally a boom or bust economy where those at the bottom are really struggling. And I really thought that his economic message would connect there, and turns out I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think that all of this economic news should help him anywhere. And then, as you say, in a state like Nevada, they were number one for foreclosures. You'd think that he would have an extra resonance. But again, unfortunately, some of this comes back to the way the race is presented. And he has been increasingly marginalized to a point that people tend to think of his vote being a wasted vote. I don't think that's accurate at all, by the way, but I think that does account for why some of his substantive positions don't break through, because for many people, they see him as already out of the running.
And are Democrats just incapable of participating in a three-way race, or is it the media that is shaping this in our minds, that, there are only two front runners, so why would you care about Kucinich or Edwards?
I think it is the media. And, you know, David Broder, who is a very prominent traditional Washington columnist and journalist for the Washington Post, once said quite candidly, you know, we in the media don't have the ability to cover races with large numbers of people. So what we usually do is narrow it down early to focus on what we can cover. It's a rather breathtaking elitist sentiment when you think about it. And another weird part, of course, is that there's been this effort to do a narrowing for Obama and Clinton in the Democratic side. The Republican side is so stubbornly open in terms of what Republican voters have done in each state that I think it actually has forced the media, more so than the Democratic race, to cover multiple candidates seriously, because there really is no clear one or two front runners at all.
Well, that's a good point, and it has been a challenge to them. And of course, they look at the money, the cost of covering people, and already the contingent of reporters shadowing John Edwards has drawn down significantly. And of course, Dennis Kucinich never had that problem to begin with.
Peter. Oh, I'm sorry, do you have time?
Oh, I got time. I was just going to say your name again. Ari Melber's with us from The Nation. Go ahead.
Thank you. I was going to make another point, though, which is that we can't, I don't think, fully blame only the media. They are the leader of this problem in setting a tone of a narrower race than reality might offer us. But I also think one of the disappointing things so far in the citizen media this year, which I generally find to be a very exciting a development for progressive politics, but unfortunately, most of the top bloggers, you can't generalize about the entire blogosphere, but at least the top men and women who are very well read, have largely reaffirmed a framing of a three-person or even a two-person race. And I think for a long time, we're not giving in their writing and in their influence, which they now have some, we're not giving a fair shake to the Chris Dodds and the Dennis Kuciniches and the Joe Biden, you know, serious people with ideas that were at least worth hearing. Who knows how far they should get. So that's another key distinction I would make, is that unfortunately, at least in this cycle for the Democrats, while citizen media has been very good about pushing interesting candidates who came out of nowhere, like a Ned Lamont, for example, as a lot of your listeners will remember,
sure.
That didn't happen in this cycle.
Yep, that's a very interesting point. Now, Ari, let's talk a little bit about the charges that have been traded back and forth between the Clinton and Obama campaigns. In particular, regarding the lawsuit in Las Vegas attempting to prevent caucuses from being held at the casinos, because the thought at the time was that with the culinary workers' endorsement, Obama was going to benefit from that. And so this puts the Clinton campaign into a Karl Rove zone of trying to suppress turnout of Democratic voters in Democratic primaries and caucuses. And it's ugly on the one hand, and on the other hand, you point out that while some of this may be true, that a lot of it relates more to turnout and the constituencies that Obama and Clinton are appealing to. Give us your explanation.
That's right. I mean, first of all, this lawsuit was filed by people backing Hillary Clinton, but then Bill Clinton went ahead and spoke out very forcefully on behalf of it. And as I wrote, it is very rare and very disturbing for a former U.S. president to be speaking out for tactics that effectively disenfranchise American citizens. I can't think of a recent example of it. And typically, these kind of really dirty, nasty tactics are used quietly, secretly, and the intended beneficiaries don't actually claim ownership. So just in the spectacle of it, it was weird and disappointing and sad to see President Clinton actually speaking out for this lawsuit. But the larger picture that you're asking about is that what we're seeing so far from these first contests, we finally have some voter turnout. We don't just have polls, which are notoriously unreliable. And so from the actual turnout, what I see when I crunch the numbers is that Hillary does very well among the traditional Democratic turnout. She's basically holding on to the centrist coalition that President Clinton cobbled together, you know, the liberal and Democratic establishment, working class moderates, Latinos, and a lot of, you know, liberal hawks and other people that are not as troubled by her foreign policy. And in a traditional turnout universe, which we had in New Hampshire and Nevada, she did very well. In Nevada, for example, she won 51% of self-identified Democrats. Barack Obama only won in the high 30s and then made up the rest of his support on independents.
Right.
The flip side here is, of course, when there's a very high turnout, as we saw in Iowa, unprecedented 200% turnout, with new and young voters and Republicans, he does very well. And so part of that, what I think is really going on behind the scenes here, putting aside for a moment the moral concerns I already raised about why it's wrong to ever depress turnout, but the political fight we're seeing is moving into this obsession with turnout and the tactics and all the arguments that were made in Nevada precisely because they can each win depending on the universe.
It's very interesting. All right, we need to take a break. We'll return in just a moment. I want to talk a little more about Nevada and then take a look forward at the upcoming primaries. And also talk a little more about the role of the web and the so-called Netroots in this year's campaign. If you have a question or comment, you can call in toll-free. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Lines available. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Grab the podcast. The link's on the homepage at peterbcollins.com.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interests, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Cool traffic on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and hopefully your holiday is a nice one. We're going to mention that there's not a lot of activity on roadways, but we do want to mention the fact that we do that for the Santa Cruz Mountains. We have what we call a severe weather warning, and it's hailing on Highway 17. What does that mean for you motorists? Well, it's creating very slippery conditions for motorists, and again, drive with caution. So if you're traveling on Highway 17, it is hailing and slippery conditions reported. Drive with extra caution. At Los Gatos, southbound 17 between Lark Avenue and the Summit, we have very slow traffic being reported there. Southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel looking very good at this point. Cold or no cold, the day must go on. So for the help you need to power through your day, get the non-drowsy multi-symptom relief of Vicks DayQuil. Use as directed. That's traffic on KRXA.
Well, come on everybody, get into the spin. Now that he's been in for however long it's been, grin a good old grin, tuck in your second chin, and everybody do the Clinton.
It's the Peter B. Show.
Over to the middle,
over to the middle,
straighten up and step light,
up and step light,
lean it to the left a little,
to the left a little,
now lean a lot to the right,
lot to the right.
Come on and take a definite position,
definite position.
Now do a total turnabout,
total turnabout.
Shake your finger at the media, see how quick they'll beat you.
Everybody do the Clinton.
That goes back to the mid-90s. That's Roy Zimmerman and the Four Men. It's called Do the Clinton. I love that, where you tilt a little to the left and then lean way to the right. Ari Melber's with us. He writes for The Nation. We're talking about the primaries and caucuses that we've seen so far. And are we going to do the Clinton again? Is Hillary really pretty much picking up the same voting coalitions that Bill held in the 90s, Ari?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're seeing that in several of the states that we were discussing earlier. When it's a traditional Democratic universe, you know, she can hold her own. She's not dominating, by the way. Bill Clinton would probably be putting up larger numbers if you can play the hypothetical out. But she's edging out Obama, and it doesn't look, as we saw in Nevada, that if Edwards does fade, it doesn't look that an overwhelming portion of his support would go to Obama, even though they seem more ideologically close.
Yeah. And political junkies like me, we pick up on some of these incidents. Bill Clinton was in Oakland last week and got red-faced and angry with a television reporter who asked him a question about the lawsuit, about the caucus issue in Nevada. He has made a few blunders in the comments that he's made and created kind of new targets, new vulnerabilities. At the same time, I can't tell you, you know, how many times we hear verbatim comments and see a quote from John Q. Citizen on television saying that, well, you know, I like Hillary because Bill's going to be right there with her. And I scratch my head about that because I think it's going to be a nightmare to try to manage a White House with a former president in the, you know, who's upstairs, but not really, you know, gotten any official role to be there in the Oval Office and whisper things into Hillary's ear. And I really think they need to define how this will work, certainly before I could ever vote for Hillary Clinton.
You know, Peter, and this is the example. We're seeing a test run of it. You know, it is him saying what he thinks and confronting who he wants, because no one's going to tell Bill Clinton what to do, not anyone in that campaign, and apparently not anyone else in the public discourse. So this is a test run, and it's a little unwieldy. I will say, though, that I think there's a method to this madness. I think people are missing the boat a little bit when they describe all of these things as blunders. He's not pitch perfect. I mean, he's not, you know, as well-honed as he was in his political prime as a candidate. But he still has the ability, by hook or by crook, to get everyone talking about him and his wife and his message. So even right now, you and I on the radio or whatever people are doing on TV or all the ink that's spilled, is still, you know, gravitationally pulled towards him and what he's talking about, and that, in a campaign, is very helpful because it means we're not noticing Barack Obama. We're not talking as much about a really tremendous speech he gave yesterday about a moral deficit in this nation and stitching together his vision of political unity and a different economic domestic policy. You know, we're not talking about that because we're here reacting to Bill Clinton's spectacle.
Yeah, you make a good point. Now, the Edwards campaign, they have vowed to keep going, but it's got to become increasingly difficult. And as we head into California, you know, I think it's going to be very interesting. It's just about 2.5 weeks left before our primary. And the polling shows that it's Clinton in the 40s, Obama in the 20s, and Edwards way down in the low teens. And so I think those of us who want to see Hillary stopped have no real choice but to vote for Obama, because it seems like Edwards is so far back in the hunt. And at the same time, I hate to see his fortunes basically cut off on February 5th.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that over and over from traditional, you know, activists. It's big on the blogs and then the other progressive discussions about, you know, people saying we got to stop Hillary and we got to get behind Obama now because that's the way to do it. Also, you know, it's very hard to run a national campaign of this cost when you're not picking up enough delegates to seem viable and enough momentum to continue to raise money. You see, so I mean, I heard from a source, for example, that Edwards' campaign has already announced a date at which it cannot continue to pay its staff, but they're asking them to stay on. You know, it gets harder and harder to make that run over a national agenda.
Mm-hmm. And of course, these caucuses are more difficult, as we discussed, for the lower ranking candidates. But I assume that Kucinich is going to stay in for quite a while. I don't know that he needs a lot of money. And I know that he mainly wants to be part of the debate. Of course, they excluded him from another debate tonight.
That's right. He's not in the debate tonight. It was interesting to see him try to wedge his way in the other debate last week. He is a different type of candidate because he has always been more of a message candidate.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that, both Dennis to some extent, but especially Edwards, have put a lot of issues on the table and changed the tenor of the race because, you know, a lot of candidates run and don't win. They can still have an impact, and they should run as long as they can get their message out.
Ari Melber, thanks for your work. Thanks for joining us today. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you.
Read him at thenation.com or just go ahead and pick up the magazine. Up next, your phone calls, 888-5-PETER-B. Lines are open in the free speech zone, 888-573-8372.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffeehouse in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew, a side of couscous and a bottle of galushian. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
Do you have difficulty sleeping? Are aches and pains keeping you up at night? The Amethyst Biomat is a heated healing mat that you lie on to relax, energize, detoxify, alkalize, eliminate pain, depression, insomnia, and improve your body, your mind, and your spirit. It is simple, safe, and effective to use in your bed or massage table. Comes in five sizes and is used by individuals and alternative holistic practitioners worldwide. Imagine doing nothing and achieving everything. Call Rachel at 1-888-337-7262 or visit amethystbiomat.com. That's AmethystBiomat.com and start sleeping tonight. That's 1-888-337-7262 for Rachel, or browse to amethystbiomat.com and get the good night's sleep you deserve.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speech zone. Lines are open for your phone calls. Have you heard the rules? You can call about any subject with any point of view from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Toll-free lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And it's a federal holiday. The banks and post offices are closed. The kids are out of school. Some of you took a three-day weekend. I understand that. So, if you need a little inducement to be a first-time caller to the PBC show, I think I have at least one more DVD of the documentary Uncounted. And if you're the first-time caller to the show during this half hour, we'll lay it on you. How's that? 888-573-8372. And I was recently admonished by, I can't remember if it was somebody with a BlackBerry or an iPhone, but apparently when I give the number as 1-888-5-PETER-B, it is very difficult for people with these advanced high-tech devices because they don't actually have a, 1-0 telephone touchpad with the corresponding letters. So I apologize, and I do make an effort to give the number numerically every time I give it out. But sometimes I may fail you, and for that, I deeply apologize. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I want to acknowledge Margie B., who listens in Oregon, I believe, on KBBR out of Coos Bay. She sent me a lovely card with a photograph that she took herself. And it's entitled Battle Rock Beach in Port Orford. And it's a beautiful, beautiful scene with a partly clear sky and a partly threatening sky. And Margie got a copy of the Bush calendar, you know, the one where you peel off a page and count down the days till he gets out of office. And she said she's really enjoying it. And apparently she noticed the cost of the postage to ship it to her because she was kind enough to fold up a $10 bill. And put it in there for the Peter B. postage account. Margie, you're fabulous. Thank you very much for that. Greg in Sacramento's up first in the free speech zone. Hi, Greg.
I'm a very first, very, very first time caller.
No, you're not. But I love it when people beg.
Oh, I'm on my knees right now.
All right, Greg.
Groveling.
But you actually called before I made the offer, so I can't even bend the rules for you there.
Oh, darn.
What would you like to talk about?
Well, one other thing came to mind. I was hoping that you could kind of throw in some bumpers every once in a while that would commemorate a 70s group which has gotten back together and is playing again, which is from your neighborhood.
Who's that?
The Tubes.
Oh, really? The Tubes are back together?
Absolutely.
Holy cow. Fee Waybill must have run out of money.
Possibly. But, yeah, they're touring again.
All right. Well, I do play requests like that, and as soon as I have, I'm proud to be an American here somewhere. Yeah, I got it. It'll be coming up.
Okay.
Okay.
The thing I initially called to ask about is there's probably 100 things I could ask you, but I was just kind of curious as to what is the latest with our friend Bernie.
Bernie Ward is awaiting word from the courts. There should be a hearing sometime in the next few weeks. There was a rally scheduled for tomorrow, Tuesday, in front of the San Francisco Federal Building, and that's been postponed. There is news about that without an explanation at the Bernie Ward website. And I have spoken to him recently. We traded some emails last week. And he is somewhat hopeful that the management of his radio station will put him back on the air as he fights these political and what I consider to be selective prosecution charges. And so the effort that he's asking supporters to focus on is contacting the upper management of Citadel Broadcasting and encouraging them to permit Bernie to go back on the air. Apparently local management is in favor, and it is the corporate folks, the suits, who so far have not given a green light on that.
Well, you had mentioned his website, and I went looking, fishing around for it, and I haven't found anything.
Okay, it's a long URL, and so I'll tell you what, Greg, before the next break, I will pull it up and give it to you and be ready with a pencil and paper, and I'll be able to get that for you, okay?
Before the break or after?
Before the break.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay?
All right, thanks.
Very good. Now we go to Matthew in Santa Cruz, who's going to win a DVD because he's a first-time caller. Hello, Matthew.
Hello. I'm a long-time listener, though.
Well, I'm glad you decided to finally pick up the phone.
Yes, I sold out. Wait, can I give you a great campaign slogan for Giuliani?
Sure.
If you like Bush, you'll love Giuliani.
Just add 9/11.
Yeah. Actually, I want to talk. I just have to say I do agree with you. It seems like we don't hear enough about John Edwards and Kucinich from the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as an individual, I don't know what to do. I'm voting for John Edwards. My wife's voting for John Edwards. I only know that because we have mail-in ballots, but... Yeah, you know, it just seems like there's not a lot you can do.
Well, I have heard from some people who are not going with the flow and they're not going into pragmatic mode like me, and they're going to vote for Kucinich on February 5th. And I respect that. I think that, you know, if that's how people want to use their vote, I do respect it, and I think it's a very reasonable thing to do. As you may have heard me say, I believe that, you know, my paramount goal in this election is to stop Hillary Clinton, because I do believe that if she is the nominee, we run a serious risk of losing the White House to the Republicans again. And I personally am not prepared to take that risk. And I do think that while Barack Obama is new and different, and also is an African American, and there are certain people who won't vote for him for that reason, I think that the risk of you know, running with Bernie Ward is actually less than the risk of running. Did I just say Bernie Ward? You can see what's
yes,
on my
did.
Mind.
I think everyone understood what you meant.
I found the website, by the way. That's what happens when I multitask. The risk of running with Barack Obama is less than the risk of running with Hillary Clinton. And I also feel that while there are many gray zones in the policies and politics of Barack Obama, that I'm willing to take more of a chance with him fleshing out those unfilled parts, because I pretty well know how Hillary and Bill will fill them out with the DLC, with the Wall Street boys like Rubin and Summers, who did do good things for our domestic economy in the 90s. But there are a lot of other things that have taken place related to NAFTA, GATT, and the trade agreements that are part and parcel of Republican politics. And so, you know, looking for true change and a real break from the past, I simply cannot support Hillary. And for that reason, I'll be voting for Obama on February 5th.
Is there any? I haven't heard anyone talk about the one item, though, that if Edwards goes all the way, there's a very good chance that he'll prevent anyone from having a majority of the votes. And aren't they only committed for the first round at the convention?
I think that's true. I believe they are committed on the first round, and after that they are relatively free agents. I think it varies from state to state, but I believe that is the case. Well, listen, thanks a lot for your call, Matthew. Did we get your address?
No, you haven't, John.
Well, hold on. Katrina will get that, and we'll send a DVD to you. I'm going to the post office tomorrow.
Been a pleasure.
All right, mine too. Now to line three, it's Charlie in Hayward. Hello, Charlie. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Why, hello, Peter B. I'm a first-time caller. Well, I listened to your conversation with Stephen Thomas today, and I found that very provocative.
Well, good. Are you ready? Are you ready to support his effort to ban the corporatization of our and privatization of our vote?
I think the votes being counted is an important process, and I think everybody everywhere has some concerns about it, and it sounds like he's got a simple solution.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I called is I sent you an email, which you may get to, talking about legislators' vote fraud caught on video and showing elected officials voting for each other, Democrats voting for Republicans, etc. And I have actually seen that taking place. And if you don't have good enough ethics to vote in the legislature and vote for yourself, and it's just completely acceptable for everybody to vote for everybody else, I think we got a basic ethics problem that also needs to be considered, that maybe we need to call their hand and say, if you're going to vote, you better push your own damn button.
Yeah. Well, this came up in an embarrassing episode last year with State Senator Carol Migdon.
Yes.
And this is something, there are a couple of things, Charlie, here that I'd like to mention related to the way our legislators operate in Sacramento. To me, the most egregious is called taking a walk. And that's when, rather than vote for or against a piece of legislation, given that a definitive vote like that might cause a contributor to say, I'm not going to give you any more money, or a voter to say, I'm not going to vote for you again, a lot of them just check out. And so we have a number of important pieces of legislation that have died in committee because the, you know, the quorum was there. They had enough members to vote it out or vote it down. Mm-hmm. But instead, a number of people just vote present. Or
I've spent a little bit of time up there in those halls, and there's been occasions when I've very significantly encouraged elected officials to either vote no on something or not vote, rather than create the support to get something passed. And the not vote certainly served my purposes on a number of occasions. So. But pushing the button of somebody else and not being there, I think they just use that as an excuse to go after Carol. I think that's a very common practice that probably should be looked at, the possibility of getting it stopped.
All right. Well, I agree with you. Unfortunately, you don't agree with me on the taking a walk thing because it served your interest before. But
right.
I really think that we need people who go there and have the courage to face both the lobbyists and contributors and the voters and say, this is what I thought about a particular piece of legislation. And
well, let me give you a little reason if I can.
Yeah.
The forces there, the horsepower pushing people in directions is very serious and can be very destructive to somebody's survival. And if it assists in getting the right answer, I don't have a problem with not voting if it gives the right outcome.
Okay. All right, Charlie, I hear you, and I appreciate the call today. Good to have you listening here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Lines are open if you want to join us. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
Hear ye! Hear ye! The court's in session. The court's in session. Now, here come the judge. Here come the judge.
Here come the judge.
A bailiff arrest that judge. He tried to torch his own house.
Stop beating that bird. Cause here come the judge. Don't nobody bird. Cause here come the judge. Judge Shorty, he's presiding today. And he don't take no stuff from nobody. No kind of way.
All right, case number one of a bad judge on the bench. We go to the Texas Supreme Court, where David Medina holds a seat. Now, in Texas, the Supreme Court justices are elected, and Karl Rove has run the campaigns for most of the current members of the State Supreme Court of Texas. And this guy, David Medina, when I first saw his picture in the newspaper on Saturday, I did a double take. He looks like Alberto Gonzalez's slightly heavier twin brother. Now, Justice David Medina has been on the court since 2004. He was appointed by Rick Perry and then elected to a full term. His wife, Francisca, has been accused of setting a fire that destroyed the couple's suburban Houston home and damaged a neighbor's residence. And while the evidence so far is circumstantial, the family was past due in payments on the house by the tune of 5 months. And at that time, the house burned down, more than $1 million in damage. Accelerants were found by the fire inspectors. And this guy is still on the court. Now let's fast forward, or let's zoom across the country to Charleston, West Virginia, where the Chief Justice of West Virginia's Supreme Court, Elliot Spike Maynard, has finally recused himself from a case regarding Massey, which is a big mining company based in Virginia. And Spike Maynard helped form the 3-2 majority last November that overturned a multimillion dollar judgment against this Massey mining company. And in the current case that involves Massey, the Massey Energy Company, he has finally recused himself. And they have a picture that has been published in newspapers, I guess in West Virginia. This one came from the Associated Press, that shows him in Monaco. Yes, Monte Carlo, Monaco, on a yacht, partying with the CEO of the Massey Energy Company. No conflict of interest. Oh, no, they just happened to be there at the same time and, you know, had a friendly little beverage. It's amazing. State Supreme Courts should be clean operations. It doesn't appear to be the case these days, at least in Texas and West Virginia. We take a break and return to more calls here in the Free Speech Zone. 888-5-PETER-B. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Have an advisory for the Santa Cruz Mountains. Of course, looks like we have some snow being reported. Skyline Boulevard at Bear Creek. Numerous vehicles blocking lanes and pulling over because of the snow. It is certainly advised to drive with caution. 6 to 8 inches of standing water in Santa Cruz. Southbound 17 between Morrissey Boulevard and 17 in the two left lanes. So again, drive with caution traveling in that area. And we also want to mention that Interlaken Green Valley Road at Dutchman, there's a two-car crash being reported there, so we certainly want to let you know about that. Southbound 17 at the Summit, we have flooding being reported there. It's in the right lane. It is apparently causing for traffic to back up. Expect delays. The pain of being stuck in traffic only gets worse when you've got a sore throat. Nucipacol Dual Relief Spray numbs pain instantly with just one shot. It's the little spray that's a big shot of relief. Nucipacol Dual Relief Spray. That's traffic and care XA.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
You're listening to the greatest talk radio station on the planet, west of the Mississippi, along the Pacific coast, in California, below Davenport, above Lucia, and west of the Gavilan Mountains. KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll try to provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your co-host, along with Mark Leonard. We try to look at current issues from a unique angle and invite our listeners to call in and bring their own different perspective on contemporary affairs. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Hey, Batman, hold the Dire Straits. We promised Greg the Tubes. I'm proud to be an American. So many cases.
I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud of all the good things we've done. This television, free religion, rock and roll, Saturn, oil, Times Square, future, Jericho, a wealthy folk, get better, price reduction, reconstruction, these four, and I'm more culture than we got to land. I'm proud to be
right, the tubes are getting back together. That's good news for somebody. First time I saw them was on Halloween in 1975 or 76 in Chicago, and the tubes opened for Roxy Music. Wow, what a great evening that was. Greg in Sacramento, I also promised to give you the Bernie Ward URL, and I was supposed to do it before the break, but gosh, I got so wrapped up in that story about the judges. All right, here it comes, and I wish they had a shorter one, but here it is. home.comcast.net/, and then tilde, that little squiggly dash, tilde, support Bernie Ward, all one word, support Bernie Ward, /SITE/. I will repeat that. home.comcast.net/, that's the squiggly dash, support Bernie Ward, all one word, /site/. You can also Google Bernie Ward and Defense Fund, and you should arrive at the same location. And I support Bernie wholeheartedly, and I hope you will too. We go to Cal in Sacramento, listening on 1240 Talk City. Hello, Cal.
Hi, Peter. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing okay, and welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. I'm first time caller, but I'm listening away when Christina was on the air.
Oh, great.
And my question is, I have a three topic. If you bear with me, I was staying waiting for you for almost a minute.
Okay.
My first question is we know that the country would be saved if Gore take it and won. And why he didn't? Why he's not running while he knows that the election was stolen from him? Second question is the same thing with what's his name? The second one. The second election was stolen, and even though he conceded the second day, right on the second day, we know that in Ohio there was 50,000 votes, while the voter there were 5,000 for Bush, and he won it by 50,000. Why Kerry conceded? Third question is, we have a slaughter in Gaza for the last 5 days after Bush visited the Middle East. And no one talking about the human rights or anything about, I mean, right now today there's 5 kids died in dialysis in the hospital. No one is even talking about this. So what is the media? What happened to this country? This country used to be so great, so right. Good. Where's the human rights? Where's the Constitution? Where's the civil liberty? Where's all these things that this country is founded for?
Cal, you got the questions right. I wish I had some answers for you. Thanks a lot for calling the program today. I do appreciate that. Just one little positive and negative on the media. Last night I tuned in. I'm not a big football fan, but I watched the end of that sub-zero game from Green Bay. And then I flipped over to CBS to see what was on 60 Minutes. And 60 Minutes wasn't on. They didn't even put a show on opposite the football playoffs. Instead, they had one of the best documentaries I have seen about global warming, anchored by Scott Pelley, one of the 60 Minutes correspondents. But you didn't see it. Nobody else did. And I guess that's how they're going to keep it. Patty in Prunedale, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Peter. Thank you. I've been a listener for a long time, but I haven't called in previously.
Well, thank you for dialing up. I appreciate it.
And I just love the education I'm getting, because without your show and others like it that I listen to on this radio station down here in the Monterey area, I wouldn't buy the books that I have bought and read. Naomi Klein's book, for example.
Good for you. I think that's the most important book in recent months.
Isn't it? I just love it. But how would I know that's even available? There would be no other place that I could get that information.
Mm-hmm.
And it's brought me into a whole new level of understanding about what is going on with our government. And what I called to talk about was Medicare. And your previous caller had talked about doctors in Soquel not taking patients who are on Medicare.
Right, she did.
And that is more and more common, I found, in this area as well. Because their reimbursement level is so low that it isn't even worth it for them to take the appointment.
Well, and you know, this is part of a whole cycle. It's complex, but, you know, fundamentally, I'd like to see us increase those reimbursements as a way of establishing that Medicare, with its efficiencies and without the profit motive and without the insurance companies in the game, is a much better way to deliver health care to as many Americans as possible. I want universal coverage, but, hey, let's put a dent in the 47 million and whittle that down as much as we can. And one way to do that is by, you know, allowing more people to qualify for Medicare and improving the quality of the service delivered there. Patty, I wish we had more time, but I'm glad you called the program, and now you know the number, you can do it again.
Happy trails to you until we meet.
We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same stations on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for listening.
Keep smiling.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good. Just like an organic tomato or strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that you know you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The King holiday is apparently the only thing that prevented a sharp drop on Wall Street today. The markets were closed. Markets elsewhere in the world were engaged in a huge sell-off. CBS News correspondent Richard Roth reports from London.
Across Asia and into Europe, it was a global nosedive. Market falls that haven't been seen since 9/11. Analysts said investors were simply doing what they do when they're frightened. They sell.
The irrational exuberance that we had through 2002 to 2006 has been now replaced very firmly by irrational fear. There is just no good news out there.
The sell-off wiped 5.5% off the value of British stocks, more than $150 billion.
In early Tuesday trading on the Asian markets, the sell-off continues. Japan's Nikkei average is down another 4%. Australian stocks are 5% lower. Analysts look for the trend to continue on Wall Street tomorrow morning. They're really mixing it up at the Democratic presidential candidates debate going on right now. We get a live update from CBS News correspondent Dan Revive.
Halfway through this two-hour debate on CNN in South Carolina, Bill, the three Democrats were talking mainly about the economy. Barack Obama said the Dow Jones may fall tomorrow like foreign markets did, and there's a danger of an extraordinary recession. Hillary Clinton said the stock markets issued, quote, a huge wake-up call. They touted their stimulus proposals. John Edwards said his version creates more jobs. Then some spirited, even nasty, back and forth between Clinton and Obama. She accused him of representing a slumlord as a Chicago lawyer. He said Clinton and her husband misquote him. Obama added, "Sometimes I don't know who I'm running against." Reporting live, Dan Revive, CBS News.
I'm Peter King in Orlando.
Sorry to keep you guys waiting so long.
That's okay, Mr. President. We don't mind.
Mike Huckabee is coming off a narrow loss in South Carolina, and even though he's behind in the polls here, he's still within striking distance.
Winning Florida would be great, but winning the nomination is what our main target is, and it's pretty clear that nobody is going to have this wrapped up by Florida.
John McCain has surged ahead in a just-released Quinnipiac University poll. He's got 22%. Huckabee, Mitt Romney, and Rudy Giuliani are all within 3 points of McCain, and that makes it a statistical dead heat.
Fred Thompson might be ready to drop out. At the moment, he has no events scheduled, and some staffers are likely to bolt to other campaigns. A Martin Luther King